Good evening, and other times of day. However, if you join us on Twitch, welcome live. Ladies and gentlemen, this is From the Batcave, and I'm your host, Ray Thunder, Adam Gerard, and joining me this week, as they do every week, fortunately for me, the Honey Badger Terrier Neil.
Guten Tag.
The Probe Matt Richards.
Hola.
And apparently...
Hello, Pumpkin.
And how are we this week, Couch Jumper?
Hey, good.
What do you call that?
Couch Jumper.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I can deal with that. Yeah.
I mean, I'm bringing it back.
Bring it back.
Monkey or anything, but I'm bringing it back.
Wow. Nice one.
Oh, so yeah, how's everybody this week?
Hey, good, man.
I think I had a bit of shortcoming. This week. That's good.
I think it should be a fun week. Not only are we going to be reviewing some good TV, but but there will also be some fantastic. Well, if you're listening to this on the podcast, visitors, if you're watching this, impressions coming later on tonight in the movie segment, I think. So a lot of things to look forward to here tonight. But look, before we do anything else, and before we even get into this week on TV. I think the most important thing we have to do is head over to the fastest breaking segment there's ever been, ever. Just ever. It's a mind-blowing statement, I know, but ever. And we're going to head it over to the news. Yeah, look at that. There you go.
The news.
The news.
So our resident newscaster is going to handle some risky business and tell us exactly what the story is. So
here's a Top Gun at it.
Jesus. So there's a reason I'm wearing these shades today. We've had some sad news this week, and I'm just the tears are just so we were scheduled for next year a movie coming out, which as far as I'm aware is still coming out. Gampt.
Starring Channing Tatum.
He was great at
21 Jump Street.
And Magic Mike.
22 Jump Street.
And Magic Mike
22
XL.
Jump Street.
23 Jump Street. 24 Jump Street.
I haven't seen Magic Mike.
No, neither have I.
But Matt, have you seen it?
I was going to judge. I was just interested if it actually had a storyline, if it was just simply, have tits, but we got abs.
There is no storyline, apparently. Watching it and watching reviews about it.
Apparently, yeah, sure. You've
seen
it. You've
seen Twilight, apparently watching reviews. I bought Playboy for the articles of Matt Richens. I pro deep into them articles.
Yeah, I'll put your face on the back.
Braden, save this segment.
But the news on the webs this week is that Channing Tatum has backed out of the movie.
Yeah, is he still producing it?
I believe that he is still producing it. Nothing has been confirmed as far as I'm aware at this stage. So, from what I have been able to...
I'm serious. Maybe he's going to be the new Wolverine. I mean, think about it. He's got the abs.
That was just Terry having a brain.
I didn't even know what that was.
that was like...
Brain. That was incredible. Mess that nerve. Flame.
Anyway, I'm good. Continue, Braden.
So yeah, I believe he is still producing it. I don't believe it's 100% confirmed that he has definitely backed out, but I have been able to find a little bit of goss saying that he wants to do bigger things. But in saying that, I believe he's down to 23 Jump Street, so I find that hard to believe.
Hang on, whoa. Did you just say he's going to do 23 Jump Street?
Yeah.
Hit the celebrate key.
Yep. Oh, sorry. I was unprepared.
Come on.
It's coming here.
Don't remember to put you back in probation. Oh, I wish celebrate. I will celebrate 2023. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. You know what?
But still no Gambit, sadness.
No. Fine with that. Get a French guy to play Gambit. 23 Jump Street, much better decision.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, good choice. Channing Tatum. And however, I knocked my mic there. Sorry, folks at home. However, I do want to say this. Just because you're doing a third one of that, don't do Magic Mike 3.
No. We're going to have a case of the brain.
Is there a Magic Mike 2?
Yeah, it's out now. Magic Mike Extra Large.
Yeah.
I got an advert before Ant-Man where what's the big the brown headed Joe Mangala Tony Joe Mangala Mangala
some
Mangala Mohead pours milk all over himself and is like, yeah, I'm gonna dance against this fucking vending machine. Magic Mike. However, it does have a wrestler in it, which brings us to my new piece of news this week. So hang on a second. Yeah. Gotta make sure you do what's important here. You know what I mean? And my piece of news is this. It's official. Stephen Amell, a.k.a., as he will be known, I think, The Arrow, will be stepping into a WWE ring at SummerSlam. Which means, I mean, we get to cover on this show. That was a fist bump between Terry and I. But also, it means Braden now has to watch wrestling. 4 hours of wrestling. Can we just hit the button again?
Yeah,
I'd love to hear that button again. That's my shit.
4 hours of magic.
Oh, it's gonna be better than watching Magic Mike back to back. So yeah, you got that to look forward to. Look forward to Tom Cruise. How do you feel?
Oh yay!
Whoa, keep your pants on. No, calm down there, son. Calm down.
It'll be good.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. Brock Lesnar sitting on The Undertaker as well, obviously, in the main event, which will be sensational.
I am so hoping for a Terry Amell. Oh, sorry.
Terry Owens. Kevin Owens. Terry the Hunter O'Neill match.
Fight against Stephen Amell.
Ooh. Well, that would be amazing to happen. Yeah, you never know, because I see the character that Terry has on the WWE show that he's in. He's quite vicious and he likes to attack celebrities, yeah. So I can imagine him just. I could see Amell winning the match, and then Terry coming out and killing him, which would legitimately make for the best fucking segment we could ever do on this
style,
show.
Like fucking.
I would say what he'll probably do is he'll powerbomb him into the side of the ring or off the stage,
or just straight onto his knee.
Yeah, maybe he'll just kill him.
Yeah,
but if he does do that, like you just said, all he needs is to go to a cave and hang from a rope and a boulder.
For 3 hours, then climb out.
Yeah, just climb out a hole. Yeah.
And you got to fall down a pit for an extraordinary amount of time.
And the other thing you would need to consider is if that does happen between Owens and Amell, it will be really disappointing and really quick. Like, it'll just be 3 seconds, and you'll be like, and then all that'll happen is...
Someone will come in and shoot him?
Oh, what'll happen is Amell will get backstage, and then he'll fight Kevin again, because his back will be healed between... Yeah. The ring and backstage.
And then he goes to front.
No, not even 2 hours. Just the stage. The chiropractor will just do the rope trick and he'll be safe. Then he'll get backstage and he'll beat up Kevin Owens.
Mm.
And then he'll just grab, I don't know, one of the Bella Twins.
Felicity will stab Terry O'Neill in the back.
Yeah. No.
Between the
ribs. He's going to have to, what'll happen Yeah, and then Stephen Amell and Felicity go off into the night and we literally just get The Dark Knight Rises.
And then at the last scene will be Amell and Lucy at a table in France with
Vince McMahon. With Vince McMahon looking on with a Sontag tear coming down his eye.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
I always knew you could.
Well, so I cut off Steve Austin just like, damn, son.
I thought you'd make it happy.
You son of a bitch.
Goddamn, what?
I just want to look across the table and know you'll be alright.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Alright, and now, this week on TV.
Stay away from me.
But we
stature. She's got a head as big as the Metrodome as it is.
Oh, well, what do you expect? Garlands thrown at your feet?
Well, I'd like a 145-foot triple-masted schooner with a teak interior, but hey, Lola. Time's a fun. What's everybody standing around for? It's a newspaper. Not happy hour at Buckingham Palace. Jimmy, never underestimate the need for a good obituary.
Well, I cut it off a little bit early, I apologise. But thank you, Matt, for covering that up. Now, just before we go on, I've had a little message come through to me in a little bit of a private chat from one of our listeners. I'm not going to say who, except it's pseudonym. And they've asked me a question. And it was this, did we clone Matt this week?
No,
we didn't. I took it upon myself. I actually reached out to the GIMP, who, if you look on, if you go to our Twitch feed right now, you'll be able to see it. However, if you want to see this later, Braden, where can you go to watch these videos later on?
You can actually find all of our videos, episodes, promos, parodies, skits, and other shenanigans at youtube.com/FromTheBatcavePodcast.
Jeez, he's good at his job. His glasses came off. I didn't even notice that. He smoothly snuck it in the transition.
He did.
You cheeky son of a bitch.
Right, the sneaker away.
Fucking hell. Man. What a pro. Now, back to my point. A lot of people are, like, as I say, Sue's written in, asked me, did we clone Matt? And the answer is no. I reached out to our friend, who you might be able to see here in the sunglasses. That is, in fact, the GIMP. I've taken the mask off for 1 week only. Taking the mask off him to let him breathe. Still obviously made him wear a glove, just so he obviously remembers he's only a one glover. I mean, you know. Yeah. But I reached out to him and actually asked him, as you can see, he's a champion. And being a champion, you get to spend time with other champions. So I reached out and said, look, can you help settle a bet? We want to prove this once and for all. Can you ask your friend, the almighty CK, if he'll come in and hang out this week with us in the studio, right? And sure enough, he has. He's brought him in. So here with us is Chad Krogan. Now, unfortunately, he's not feeling well, so he's not going to be able to talk tonight or sing, which for Matt's probably a good thing. But he is here just to prove that Matt and Chad Krogan are, in fact, two separate people. So there you go.
It's good. It's good.
I've finally been able to do it for you, Matt. We've put the rumours to bed.
Thank fuck.
We nearly got sued over that shit.
Yeah, we did.
There's a storm brewing.
Mr. Thunder.
Batting down the hatches, Mr. Wade.
Yeah.
Stop making me remember that movie, Matt. Stop.
I'm adaptable.
God.
All right. Well, let's get into TV so I can clear my memory of this shit.
No, and more is coming.
No, more shit is coming.
That's true.
You're clearing your shit for more shit.
In fact, we'll be replacing worse cow shit. Poo with horse poo.
That's true. And in fact, I think my best option here is to actually... the best way to put this is I think we need to work from like most shit,
yeah.
It shit rolls downhill, right?
Yeah, so
but I imagine that
you want in the happy valley, you want to end up in the happy valley,
yeah. Like at the top, there's still going to be massive shit boulders that are just glued to the shit surface, so all the small, sloppy shit rolls down. So that's the shit you kind of deal with, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so let's work from bouldery shit to sloppy shit, yeah.
So we got grass stain, sweet shit,
yeah.
It's okay, because that goes...
Like, you know when you give your dog, like, tuna and oil and then give him too much oil and it just... That's what we're going to end
and
with.
The grass doesn't digest and it's just got, like, little fur.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but we're going to start with the one where it, like, you ate something and now it shat out some maggots or something like that.
Right, so what one's that?
That would be the Flash.
Yay! The Flash, Double Vision. Set during the Day of the Dead festival, because Central City has a huge Hispanic population, Tina and Barry are on a date of sorts. When Barry has found a letter at the police station saying that someone is looking for the Flash, he leaves the date prematurely and heads to the church for a meeting. The Flash enters the building only to be shot in the back of the neck by a mind control device of some sort.
As always.
As you do.
Often find it happens to me always. When I'm out and about with the lads.
The lads.
On the town.
Mm. Awaking the next morning, he finds he's missed the part of the date where he was meant to be with Tina at a play. It would seem that Barry has missed around 8 to 9 hours of his life. Barry and Tina chalk this up to yet another side effect of Barry's abilities. Barry attends a crime scene at the church where all the statues seem to have fluted outside. Pleas for the locals to give help, yield nothing except for talk of the Red Wind. I just can't.
Fuck me.
We see our bad guys of the week watching a news report on TV how Mr. Allegria has infiltrated a drug operation and was 3 days away from testifying in a grand jury hearing against a ruthless East Coast drug cartel. Pretty much. Once again, Barry has lost another 8 hours, and a local voodoo priest has been attacked by the Red Wind with a message on the wall that reads, "We want him." As it turns out, the drug cartel is after Allegria's daughter for leverage so that the father will not testify. Barry convinces Palomo, Allegra's daughter, to stay at Star Labs, but the Red Wind, which is clearly Barry, has broken in and taken Palomo to the drug cartel. Barry finds where Palomo is and his body is taken over and set away to be hit by a truck. Tina has managed to jam the signal and is controlling Barry and freeze him. Meanwhile, the drug cartel has implanted Palomo with the same implant that they put in Barry. As she is returned to her father, she attempts to kill him. After stopping her and the bad guys, the Flash whisks Palomo back to Star Labs to have the microchip rendered useless. Later, we see Barry and Palomo's family having a celebratory dinner and drinks, and we're told over the radio that Allegra's testimony has put away the drug cartel for a very long time. That is the Flash. So we've lost two people during... I've lost all three. I'll ask Chad Kroger what he thought of it. No, he's got no thoughts. No. That was pretty much...
Didn't you listen? He can't...
Exactly, because
he's got a sore throat tonight. I'm back from the dead. Oh, man.
Wow.
Can you just go over that again? I died.
No, I don't want to die.
Okay, hold on.
Just for those of you on the
Flash,
podcast, I died.
Drug cartel.
I legitimately just died.
Wind. That's it.
I think Brayden died. I'm not sure I died, so I don't know who died after
me. Yeah, died.
Voodoo, voodoo.
I died.
That was... Flash. I've never been more bored watching something on TV than this. And I once accidentally watched the Westminster Dog Show.
Whoa.
Shit.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you delete your computer or throw it away afterwards?
Bleached my eyeballs. Shaved my pubes just in case.
Yeah, I'm going to be the first one to admit that I fell asleep twice watching this episode.
I didn't fall asleep. I was just like, what's the point?
Yeah,
I
why?
Struggled.
Yeah.
Why?
Chip, why?
Why?
I was disappointed in the almighty JWS for accepting to doing it an episode.
Really?
As shit as that. You know, I'm not shitting,
pretty bad.
I'm not shitting on John Wesley Shipp. He's a phenomenal person. But yeah.
It was pretty bad.
I'm not shitting on the J-Dubs either, but this week, Barry Allen was bad at his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad this week, you know. Found the letter, says, "Hey Flash, meet me here." Instead of casing out what it is, he just went straight in and just walked straight into the trap.
Yep.
Dumb fucking move.
Yeah.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's not a...
If you're gonna watch the series, just skip this episode.
Yeah, you don't need it.
You really don't need it.
The other thing that I was amazed by was that they spend like 8 minutes of this thing on like how much Barry eats, but as opposed to the series now where they spend time on how much Barry eats and it's like they talk about it, it's a plot point and whatnot. They literally spent 8 minutes on watching him just eat things.
Yeah.
And not even in a funny way. He just ate things.
Like
a sped up.
Fucking bowl of cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
Yeah, cornflakes.
Yep.
And then that stupid Subway that didn't even make... No, he took one bite of and that was it.
It fell apart in his hands.
Yeah.
Even the dog didn't want to eat.
Yeah. That was phenomenal writing there.
That was just a bad episode. You couldn't really say... The story had a lot of potential. I think it was executed very poorly.
Mm. Yeah, it must be a universal thing about Riders of the Flash, where they just...
We'll get to the end of the season. Last five episodes will be brilliant.
I can't agree.
Somebody at war.
I can't agree with the writing of the story being good at all. Even if you've read it,
had good principle.
If you wrote it properly, even then it would still be shit.
If you shot it, I'm sorry.
It was
not just the story. It's like we have two good characters and that's it.
Yep.
Like. Yeah, we have our two main characters, the two dumb shit cops, and that's pretty much it, and our villain of the week.
And the stupid bloody Peter Guru guy that looked like fucking, I don't know, he looked like...
he looked like a Mexican Alice Cooper.
Yeah!
Slightly chubby.
Yeah.
Yeah, slightly chubbier.
On too much cocaine. Yeah. Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
It's, coked up
Alice. So is this just a 90s thing, but do, like, young gangsters actually hang around in the streets wearing suits? The
first thing I saw was, this is so time confused as well. You've got 50s cars, you've got teenagers with gangster suits on, then you've got a brand new friggin' Nissan 300SX running around the streets. It's so confused. It's literally trying to be a comic book where the bad guys drive 1950s cars. The hoods are literally trying to be gangsters, like literal gangsters. Yeah. Which I actually have no problem with compared to today's gangsters. But anyway. But it's just so confused in the time. But I was glad to see some progress. We got to see daylight.
Yeah.
Which was exciting.
So, not exciting enough.
That's about it.
Yeah. No. It was shit. You can't say it any other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, let's just rate this thing. Let's just say Cranston's.
None.
Tina, I like Tina in this.
I have no Cranston.
Yeah, I'm with Proby on this one.
It's fine.
Brayden, you get any Cranston's?
I'm giving a sympathetic Cranston.
Say no Cranston's, but yeah, I did like Tina in this. I think she was better than J-Dubs in this, but I'm going to blame him for it. I'm going to...
Nah.
His character, just, it was dumb.
Yeah.
Barbara's? Writers.
The whole cast.
You know what? I'm so disappointed in this. I'm not even giving out Barbara's. Just
going to give it one big flaccid cock.
Just move on.
Just walking away.
Just
from the troubles in my life.
As in, you just can't?
I'm walking away.
Can't even either. Like, just...
So we have three teenage girls that can't even. Just can't even.
Don't want to even.
Yeah.
We have three Felicity.
Yeah, don't want
to. We have three Felicity ovaries.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Don't want to.
I just don't want
to. I don't even want to wait.
I don't want to wait.
Can we move on?
I'd rather watch Dawson's Creek.
Oh my god, it finally happened. Everybody heard that, right?
Preference to this. I didn't say I want to, but...
Love this shit.
That was a much better episode right there. What you just played. So much better than Flash this week.
Yeah. Mind you, our pre-show that's just like a moving graphic that sometimes changes colours a little bit.
Yeah.
Has some music
in
to
fact,
it.
If for the people that are watching on Twitch.
Or later on YouTube.
That little spinning
at YouTube slash from Back Podcast
of the
palm tree.
The palm tree. That's a much better episode than the Flash this week.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm actually going to do the unprecedented with this one. You ready?
No gloves?
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Doesn't deserve jack shit.
I agree. Yeah. Zero.
Zero.
Don't even get an empty box.
No, it's just disappointing.
No. I'm going to give him a gardening glove.
after moving compost.
I'm not even going to give him Michael Jackson's missing glove.
Damn. That's cruel.
Wow.
It's pretty harsh.
Let's go to Lois and Clark. Let's go to something a bit less depressing.
The mayor is here and he says hello. Sends his warmest greetings for the Twitch chat.
I'm sorry, who?
The mayor of Mo has...
He's in chat.
Oh, the mayor is here.
But he does send his love.
Well, we appreciate that. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Your pop vinyl is on its way with the mailman.
Nice.
Hopefully.
Will do.
Unless he's a thieving bastard.
Alright. So, Lois and Clark, Requiem for a Superhero. Perry assigns Lois and Clark to cover the Ultimate Street Fight, a boxing match featuring four title fights across all four divisions of boxing. Lois reluctantly agrees to cover the story, irked that Perry has... relegated her? I don't even know that.
Relegated.
Name. Relegated, yeah. Thank you. See, I'll shit it.
English. We'll get you a dictionary, then you can work your way up to the source.
You mean a dictionary?
Yes.
Anyway, relegated her to covering...
Pronounce it prop... Parallelo.
And fastest on the right syllable.
Precise Amundo.
Perry confesses that he wants the duo to cover the match due to Lois's connections, mainly her father, Dr. Sam Lane, a world-renowned figure in the sports medicine business. After meeting trainer Al Danelli, I read this before and I just fucked up the name.
Ali
Danello, an old Lane family friend at the local gym and confrontational encounter with fight promoter Max Menekin and the boxer Tommy Garrison. Lois and Clark run into Lois's father, led to a very awkward, detached conversation between father and daughter, and Lois later explains to Clark that Sam was an absent father and that their relationship has been strained for years. After Ali is murdered in front of Lois by a moving truck, Lois confronts her father, who denies all involvement, undeterred, and Lois and Clark sneak into his office and learn that the boxers have been implanted with motorized prosthetic limbs and joints. Despite the desire to break the scandal, Clark convinces Lois to sit on the story and lest Sam becomes a target as well. Unbeknownst to everyone other than Menekin, Lex Luthor has been funding the robotics project with his ultimate goal being to create an even more powerful man to use to defeat Superman. However, Sam gets cold feet and decides to leave the project, recording incriminating conversation with Menekin about the fighting scandal and Ali's murder. Giving his tapes over to Lois and Clark, he goes into hiding. With the scandal leaking, Luthor decides to clean up loose ends by having Menekin kidnap Lois and to get Sam. However, Luthor double-crosses Menekin and shoots him dead, saving Lois's life in the process, and she just swoons over, instantly starts swooning over the douchebag. Anyway, Superman shows up later.
It's like real life. I understand the problem here.
Superman shows up seconds later, disappointed to see that Lois has been swooned for Luthor. However, he leaves and leaves handy work of Garrison.
Nanny!
Fuck's sake. I got one line left. Just bear with me. Handiwork of Garrison. Fuck you. And the rest of the boxes saving the day once again. There is a stupid fight between Superman and
guy with prosthetic arms.
Well,
not really. He has just to clarify, the actor has real arms. He's supposed to have robotic arms underneath his skin.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Yeah, he's not fighting an actual cripple. That would be weird for Superman.
And the first punch that lands on Superman that he was unprepared for
knocks him near
flat
fuck
on
out.
His ass and nearly blacked out. And has an old lady going, "You okay there, son?"
But it's
like,
okay.
No, she's only
the,
caught me off guard. And
she's
then
the second most annoying old lady this week, though.
It's all right. It's okay, because in the background, yeah, Lois goes,
Legs, Luther, Ronnie. And hence, Lois and Clark.
It's an okay episode.
It's just middle of the road. Not as good as the other stuff, though. That's the problem. Lois and Clark's been really good, and this one just wasn't as good.
There was part of me that I saw the like robotics and all that sort of stuff. I'm like, Metallo? Is that you?
Metallo, you say?
I'd love to see that, but yeah. Yeah. But this was actually the first noticeable time I heard Lex go, Superman.
Yes.
He said Superman.
Yes, Superman.
Superman.
This is not about beating people. This is about beating Superman.
I told you, though, that was his shtick.
Yeah, I'm really glad this episode, or this series, doesn't focus mainly on Superman, because this episode showed me one thing that I... Well, the main thing that I really hate about Superman, and that's that, like, what's the fucking point, you know? You got the bad guy at the end, and then he comes down and flies down, and he punches him a couple of times and just stands there and flicks him. It's fucking boring. That's why I don't like Superman.
I don't get it. He gets clean
and then...
Like, nearly knocked out flat on his ass, and then he just gets up and is just like,
yeah, that doesn't make any sense
just
either.
Like, flick. Just like,
but he's like just fucking indestructible, and that shit me.
Do you know
so
why?
I'm so
do you know
glad
why he does that?
This series focuses more on Lois and Clark.
It makes sense if in that fight he was Clark Kent.
That was like all the voices in my head arguing at once. Just then, that was frightening.
It was
if that was Clark Kent in that ring taking
would've
punches,
made more sense.
It would have made so much more sense.
Except for the flick at the end.
Except for the flick at the end. But, you know, he would have taken a beating. But, like, it would have, like, made sense to the fucking thing.
The problem, though, is Clark takes a beating, you get the scene from X-Men 1 where it's like, I ain't never seen a man take a beating like that and not have a mark to show for it. You owe me money.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's how it works. If you fight somebody and they don't have a mark to show for it, they owe you money. So professional wrestlers...
You owe each other money. Yeah,
except for Sheamus last week with his broken nose.
And Sheamus is back.
That was a nice broken nose. Was that the knee that went in?
Yeah,
his nose?
Yeah, it was a knee that pushed his nose completely to the left. Yeah, to the left. All this cartilage is in a box to the left.
Yeah, but... Anyway, we're going to get sidetracked here if we keep going on that
From
tangent.
The window to the wall. Your cartilage is...
Carly scribbled down my balls.
I think you just shat on...
You killed it.
I did. I'm glad I did, because this is not a wrestling podcast. We do not want to go down this road.
Not yet.
No, the last time we did that, we killed wrestling. We killed the best wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, Terry and I once attempted to host a wrestling podcast, and we loved it because there was a particular wrestler who was just so good. And we thought, now's the perfect time to cover this. So we sat down to a podcast, and legitimately within 2 months, he was just like out of action.
Broke his shoulder, broke everything.
He's just basically dead at this point. I'm scared that when we record SummerSlam that we're going to kill everybody in NXT who's good. They're just going to be a mass fucking like plane crash like the Brazil one, and Kevin Owens is going to eat them all.
I would never do such a thing.
That's my fear. But anyway, back to Lois and Clark. One thing I will say here, sadly, it's very obvious at times in this show when they use green screen.
Yeah.
Like at the beginning when Clark is playing baseball with himself, which is very cool, and it's all this greatly shot stuff, and then suddenly he's hovering in this like something that looks like was shot through Vaseline and mud.
That's an action technique.
One thing I find funny is every time that Superman flies...
Superman.
Like a bitch. He's like...
Because he doesn't have his glasses on.
Yeah.
And the wind is like whipping into his eyes.
He gets shot in the fucking eye with a bullet. He's the man. He can't fucking protect himself.
We've discussed this!
Do you feel like when Dean Cain is as Superman and he's flying, he just doesn't know what to do with his arms? He kind of reminds me
like
of Ricky Bobby.
I'm not too sure what I have to do with my hands. What do I do with my hands?
He's like this, and he's like, no, I got to change it. And he just goes like this, and then he goes back again.
You leave Dean Cain alone, man from Maui.
You mean evolve Taylor Lautner, don't you?
Taylor Lautner, they're actually...
What they're actually doing, they're actually
rehashing Lois and Clark. I figured it out. Channing Tatum is going to be the new Superman for Lois and Clark. With Amy Schumacher as Lois. I don't know. I'm stretching here.
You're stretching big.
Did you mean Amy Adams?
No, Amy Schumer.
Okay.
Need something funny.
Weird. I think I know what was wrong with this episode.
Everything?
Not enough Lois.
Yeah.
Oh. Not enough whiny Lois.
And the other
one I thought it was a good balance with Lois, actually. There was a few different sides.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I liked it.
I guess the reason I got pissed off is because Sam Lane wasn't General Sam Lane. He was just...
Doctor.
Dude who makes robot arms. Sam Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing.
It was a bit wet, but it was okay.
You know
what? I'm feeling like we're a bit morose and we're feeling a bit sad here. So I feel like I need to just take a moment out.
Taking a moment?
I'm just going to take a moment for us all.
The legs are crossed. You're going serious.
Come away with me. I'm going to take a moment out for this moment. I'm going to bring up our spirits a bit. Okay? For all of us here.
Oh, God. How are you going to do that?
By
serving spirits?
I found something this week.
Shia LaBeouf?
We found Shia LaBeouf weeks ago. We found God. When we found him. I found something this week that... there'll be a link on our WordPress page when this episode goes up. But
My suspicions increase.
Let me just... I found this. It's going to start off sounding like it shouldn't be.
I'm scared.
But it's Batman related. It's amazing. And I think Braden will really appreciate it because it encapsulates not only his favourite character...
Oh, God.
...but also his favourite movie and his favourite song.
Oh, wow. What?
Wait for it.
I feel like he's had... Like,
don't take your headphones off! Don't do it!
You're pushing me! You're pushing me!
On the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. And it looks like I'm the king. The wind is howling like the swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in. Heaven knows I tried.
Okay, you ready?
Don't let them in. Don't let them see. Be the good boy you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel. Don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway.
So there you go.
Wow.
That was definitely a spirit lifter. I'm tearing up a little bit here. This is beautiful.
Just for those of you watching on the stream or watching on YouTube, that of course was brought to you by a sponsor for this week, Mountain Dew. Now this isn't a diet one, but don't forget Mountain Dew is it's the diet with doing it. Mountain Dew. Now let's talk Lois and Clark. So what did everybody else have to think about this? Brayden, what did you think about the episode of the whole taking out General Lane, not being a general, just being General Guy Lane?
I liked Yeah, there was things I did and didn't like. I've already said what I didn't like about Superman, which is just a general thing, not just a Lois and Clark thing. But I really liked the different sort of sides of Lois we saw. You know, a bit more of a sensitive side instead of just being fired up all the time, which is great as well. But
so basically, you're
so that was good.
Fangirl, sensitive Lois.
Me, fangirling.
Sensitive Lois
for some.
Right,
some,
sensitive Lois. Yeah.
Sensitive Terry Hatcher. Yeah.
The one that turns around and goes, legs, legs, legs.
Piss me off. That kind of pissed me off with her going just sort of, oh, you saved my life. Run past Superman straight into his arms. That pissed me off.
That was Lex Luthor's plan.
That was a bit of a...
That was always his plan.
Yeah, I know that. Come on, she should see past that sort of shit. She's, you know, like, all in love with Superman because he saved her life, and then, oh, Lex saved my life, now...
Have you ever saved a girl's life, Brayden?
I've saved many lives.
Ants don't count.
Wow! I was not ready for that, so fuck it. Yeah, okay, cool. Good answer.
Can't really argue with that.
He just dropped the mic on me. There. He's like, yep, bang. Well, next question.
Yeah, save your mum once in a while.
Oh.
Boom.
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 I go to Maui and save your mum every now and then.
Jeez. Why would you go to Maui to save anyone? They don't go there to be saved.
Go to Maui.
That needs to be their fucking slogan, man. How you not advertising? Come to Moe.
Come to Moe.
Where nobody else goes. just kidding, Mayor Moe. When you listen to this, you're all right.
That's right. He's gone back to work. He's not listening.
Good on him. Tuning in just to say g'day. Has there been anything much happening in the...
No, mum night checks in every once in a while. She says hello, sends her love.
She needs to get back to her study.
This is true. This is true. It's
very
important.
Disappointing.
It's
important. Yes. Alright. Well, have we got any other thoughts, or should we hand out some Cranston, some Barbaras, and some gloves?
Hand that shit out.
Play that funky music, white boy?
Yes.
Alright. Well, let's start off with Barbaras. Anybody in Barbaras for this?
Lois. Just for a little Lonnie Lex Luthor moment.
Oh, okay, you really hate that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that part either. Fair enough.
Well, you both need to let it go.
I'm going to give it to...
You do. You need to let it go.
Let it go.
I'm going to give it to the little short robotics dude. Machine dude. Boxer.
Oh, the one that fights Clark at the end?
They're,
gets flicked in the face.
No, the one that runs away from Clark
oh,
at the
that
end.
One.
Yeah. Short one. Yeah, the short one.
I'd be giving him a crown because he's like, you know what, fuck this, I'm not fighting you.
I'm out. I'm out.
I'm out, bitches!
He's the smart one of all the boxers.
There's no, that's
very rare.
Yeah, but they were all hyped
that's
up.
A paradox.
They were all hyped up to fight Superman, and then he just fucks off.
Exception to
I mean, yeah, smart move. But
yeah, but hang on. Dean Cain did give him the look as if, like, really... And like, I don't care who plays Superman. If Superman's sitting there,
he's starting to turn his opinion on Dean Cain. Somebody's going to be a Cainanite by the end of this.
What are you fucking able?
Ooh. Whoa.
Willing as well. And ready.
So one of you motherfuckers is going to get stabbed.
He will get stabbed. Cain wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then Cain gets killed by his father in a much worse way.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't get sacrificed.
No, he doesn't.
No, Cain wanders the earth for the rest of his
life. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's the story of Cain and Abel. You're thinking of Abraham.
I'm thinking of Abraham. Yeah.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's been a long time since I read my Old Testament.
Come on.
You look like
I'm more of a New Testament kind of guy. Well, I'm a more New Testament kind of guy.
Yeah, you're a New Testy. No, not a Testy.
Exactly. My Testies are still producing stuff. They're not outdated and dry. Like some people in our podcast group who were born sometime in 64. Back when Nam was on. You remember those days, don't you, Proby? The Nam days?
Uncle Probe, Grandpa Probe?
Podcast, you said!
Too old
podcast?
Come to the podcast, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
You taste like bacon.
Fuck you.
You smell like bacon.
Thank you. That's a throwback.
Oh, good times. All right. Yeah, Barbara.
I want to give it to
Lex.
No, he's a smart fella.
Fuck Lex.
If you want.
Nah, Lex is a dick. Nope.
Well, the dude had the boxing promoter, I want to give him my Barbara.
Promo Mix Scumbag.
Yes, that's I think that's his actual name.
I believe that's what he was built out was Promo Mix Scumbag.
Yeah, Promo Mix Scumbag. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that at least that's what his production call sheet said was Promo Mix Scumbag.
Yep, absolutely.
So, I think we all just need to.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Cranston's.
Perry White.
For his, like, poker game.
Yep. Nice. Just for being Perry White.
Yeah, how much I pay you this week, Kurt?
Oh, you must be was a real card
not very
card.
Good at poker. Even better.
Yeah. I love when as well when like Lois doesn't have a story. And he's like, well, damn it, Lois, are you investigating journalist? And then she hands him a story. And he's like, I never dodge it. Some of these people when they say dodge it, Lois, give me a copy. You dodge.
You take all the room you won't. So, oh, God.
Tell them to print the whole thing.
I like his little. Like boot stamp on Lois when she's like, you know what? Maybe you just need to work on something to boost your self esteem again because you just sort of not.
You know, you botched your first article. Yeah. That's
we've
harsh,
all been
man.
There.
In the Perry White dog.
Matt botches
dog
his you're in my doghouse. In this situation, I'm Perry White, and you're in my doghouse every week when you're like, let me just. I'm totally ready for this recap. Here we go, and.
The Tings.
Lewis and Clear Lark come and meet Cypher Moon.
Superman.
And likes Luthor.
English isn't Matt's first language.
You can suck my dick. You can't get me thunder because you're just God's fart.
Give him a soundboard, they said. Be fine, they'd say.
Yeah, see, he bitches, but yeah, he gets to control a soundboard. Like,
what's the problem?
What a dipshit.
I hope you choke on your mountain of dew.
No, I won't choke on this because this is full strength and it's not diet dew.
Okay.
But that's the best diet because it's the only diet we're doing it.
Brandon, who's got you, Cranston?
I'm going to lay jump on a Perry White.
There's enough room.
He was good. Tony. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to, like...
Yep.
Baseball mat spring jump onto...
Right over the wall, straight onto Perry White.
Jeez.
Yeah, I can admit I was disappointed. No Myron Park Kent.
Yeah.
So you can't hand out my, like, go-to.
Your go-tos. Give it to him anyway. Just for being there.
For raising such a damn fine son.
Yeah. Lovely white couple raising a superhero.
You know what I'm going to give it to? Excuse me. People, I'm going to give it to whoever wrote... God damn. Damn you, Matt. You jinxed me with your curse. Your gypsy curse.
Just don't get a blood nose.
Going to give it to the people who wrote this episode?
No, I'm going to give it to whoever wrote the theme for this show. Well, I love the theme to Lois and Clark.
That's a stretch.
Are you kidding me? This theme is awesome.
Theme music.
It's great. It's great.
It's good. I would say it's great.
I enjoy it.
How great is it?
How great is it? Just like on a scale, would
you pay for it? Would you pay for it?
I don't
want
to wait.
Would I pay? Oh, yeah. I would.
How much would you pay? $9.99!
That's what I'd pay. Yeah. And just in case you're wondering what my $9.99 would get me. Give you everything you want to see. Watch it on your tablet or TV. But seriously, Lois Clark has a great theme. I can't believe you give me shit and tell
me. I'm saying that's a bit of a stretch.
You know what? I want to yell at you some more. But first, I want to back in tracks. Just give me a second while I fire up the YouTubes, and then I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to yell at you hard, sir. Just make sure there's no ad first. I just want to make sure I'm not advertising shit. Yeah, see, he's going to advertise something. So while this plays, just to be sure, I'm going to advertise something I care about. And ladies and gentlemen, the following yelling ass whoopage that Terry O'Neill is about to receive is brought to you by Mountain Dew, the only diet we're doing it. I swallow a mouthful of that so I don't choke while I yell at you. Now, give me a second, and here we go. All right, Terry. You, sir, are moronic fucking dipshit. And let me tell you why. This thing might not be at the level of John Williams Superman. But when was the last time, aside from Star Trek The Next Generation, you heard an orchestra? Substandard. I do not think
due
so.
To wind.
What I am saying is,
you're saying you like
what
more
I'm
wind.
Saying is
you
that you,
more
you are
wind.
Comparing. You are comparing like fucking Mozart with like I don't know
Nickelback.
No, you're not comparing it with shit. You're comparing it with like the Foo Fighters, and then being like, well, these are the. It's all music. It's like no, there's different genres.
No, I didn't say it. At all.
So like, what I'm saying is, when was the last time you had a theme of that quality of an orchestration? With that, like, that would have taken 20 hours.
I thought we were about to say minutes then.
Sorry. 20 hours to just the. So you're going to get a full of YouTube. So, you know.
Due to the wind content. You need more wind in your.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You need more wind.
Yeah, because I don't get enough fucking. Methane bullshit coming out of you. I need some more.
That's why we got Proby on board, because we wanted more.
He smells like roses. It's well, the only reason I let him stay here.
That's not too bad.
It smells delightful, like lavender dreams and some sort of like leprechaun butthole. You know what, I've worked it out. You smell like leprechaun tape gravy. And on that note, let's give out some gloves.
Three.
Okay.
It's an enjoyable episode. It was entertaining. Except for the thing.
Braden?
Fucking... I'll go 2.75.
2.75, okay.
2.75. Yeah, I'm fairly neutral.
He's so precise with these gloves.
It's the fact that he looks like Tony Stark. He's he's an engineer now.
Now, because he took his sunglasses off because Mission Impossible's ended.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no. Tom Cruise is coming back. I'm going to be so confused. Everybody behave, he's here.
All right, so...
Braden, you missed it. Tom Cruise was just here.
The science says that... I think I'm going to give it 3.5 gloves.
The science says?
The science. Mm. Tom Cruise science.
That'd be Scientology, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Mm.
That's the method.
Yeah. 3.5 gloves.
Mm. Okay. I'm going to give this one an orchestra's worth of gloves. An entire orchestra, not just a shitty fucking synth percussion session. Okay. An actual orchestra with, like, an oboe.
An oboe?
And, like,
French horn?
Yeah, I could. You could have a French horn. And, you
know... Saxophone? Then again...
It's a bit superfluous. It's not jazz.
It's not Lethal Weapon.
It's more
trombone.
Yeah, it's not Lethal Weapon sax. Like a trombone, probably, mm-hmm. And a piccolo?
A piccolo, yeah.
You know, yeah.
That would be the actual instrument, not the character.
I imagine if we put that under studio quality, like the fullest of the full kilobytes per second, we'd actually even hear chimes in there, like the stringy, like...
What about a pan flute?
I'm sure there's a pan flute in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's even a conductor working that orchestra.
Nice. Fair enough.
So, you know, that's not one bloke in his basement, like Terry's favourite thing.
What, Skrillex?
Fuck your dents.
Iggy Azalea.
No.
Alright, well, that brings us to the end of TV.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no, fuck. This is the end of Lois and Clark. The shitstorm, Braden. And I don't want to talk about what's about to come because this was, like, literally Batman metaphorically licked my balls this week. It made me so happy. And then 30 seconds later, it was like, let me punch you in the nuts. And I was like, Batman.
So I was like,
I trusted you.
It's like prom.
Yeah.
No, I got laid pretty hard on my prom.
Did you?
Oh yeah. And then later on, I got to go to another prom because I dated a girl who like graduated, so I went to her prom, and then I got to do it all over again, even better. So I got two prom night stories.
Good job.
So basically, what I'm trying to say is that like,
you like men?
This wasn't prom.
This wasn't prom. But it was more like. You know when you're like 13, right? And you go out to the country and you meet your cousins on the farm and you go out to the barn with like your cousin Susie and she says, don't tell your grandma, but we're going to play doctor. And then you two examine each other and it feels weird. And you think it's going to be really good.
Make
and your dad
your
walks
dreams
in and he like.
Come true!
And he like beats you with a pickaxe. That's what this was.
Did you go to the cops about that? Because I would if I were you.
Well. No, they just said I couldn't come back there anymore. And that sheep stopped running in circles after a while.
Brain, Batman?
Batman, Episode 9, Zelda the Great. A mysterious figure robs a Gotham City bank on the same date each year. Batman and Robin
what
are summoned to help the police solve the crime.
What date was that she did it, do you know?
What day? I can't remember
it was
exactly.
April 1st.
Was it Halloween or something? No, I don't know.
April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. April Fool's, that was it.
Yeah,
that's why I was
there you go. To flush out the robber, Batman plants a false story in the newspaper that the money taken was counterfeit and being held by the bank for disposal. It turns out the robber is none other than magician Zelda the Great.
She needs
the money to pay a mad Albanian genius.
But that's a woman, Braden.
What was that?
She's a woman.
It's a woman.
She can't, this is the 60s. Women weren't... I need a minute. This breaks my brain.
Hang on. Weren't the woman's the assistant and the guy was the magician?
But she's a woman. How can she be a criminal? This must have made Aunt Harriet just wave her hand like it must have just been a blur. Flash speeds.
I reckon she got arthritis from it.
Brian, just keep going, man. Just push through.
She needs the money to pay a mad Albanian genius to come up with escape tricks for her act. Now Zelda has to commit another crime and Batman sets a trap, but Zelda pulls a switch and kidnaps Harriet Cooper instead. If a ransom isn't paid, Aunt Harriet will be dropped in boiling oil.
Kill her!
Holy backfires right! Aunt Harriet has just 1 hour! What will it be? Splash or salvation?
Kill the bitch.
Hold a hopeful breath for Aunt Harriet until tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I have a
fuck
gun.
Her, let it drop.
I have a gun.
It's fine.
In my room.
Yeah, we can do it right now.
We can do it right now.
You know what? Fuck that shit. They should have just been like, you know, if she's gone, we don't have to have these fishing cover stories. So, like,
yeah.
Just I'm just saying, maybe the Batmobile ran out of bat trees.
As in
Episode 10, a death worse than fate. And that title pisses me off. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
does it make sense
agreed.
To you? A death worse than fate?
Yeah.
No, because it rhymes. It rhymes with the last episode. It's meant to be all bass backwards. There's a woman who's a criminal, okay? Don't understand how your...
Okay, fair enough.
Your brain should be leaking out your ears right now.
I just don't understand. The worst is yet to come is the part where things get better.
The worst is yet to come.
On the first episode.
And yeah, because...
Because Harriet's
as we're about... No, spoilers. Aunt Harriet lives. The worst came true. That was the worst.
Okay. Sorry, continue, Brian.
That was yet to come.
Bruce Wayne makes a live hurried appearance on Gotham City television station to plea for Harriet Cooper to be freed by her kidnapper. During the broadcast, both Bruce and Commissioner Gordon reveal the money stolen by the bank robber was genuine. Zelda frees Aunt Harriet as a result. Now the mad Albanian genius shows Zelda the latest device he's built for her magician act. It's an inescapable doom trap. The problem... It's truly inescapable. As a result, the criminals now bait a trap for Batman and Robin. If anyone can figure out how to escape, it's Batman, who is the world's greatest escape artist. Two hitmen hide to kill the dynamic duo when they do escape. Zelda warns Batman and Robin of the trap, and the two capture the crooks.
Why did she live?
Yeah, this was pretty
cool. I'm not joking here. I legitimately, as I was watching this, we got to the end of the first part, and she's hanging over that pit with the fire coming out of it for no reason, and I'm legitimately screaming at my TV, DROP! I was like, YES! And then, no.
Finally, it happened. No, it didn't.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was...
But
this
was
not
was
a good villain. She was...
A woman criminal.
And you forgot to mention, Brayden, that it was okay because even though she got captured by the police, Bruce Wayne arranged for her to be rehabilitated in a children's hospital because she's a woman. So he's all like, "You didn't.
It's true.
You didn't know. You just needed some dick in you. You want some dick inside you? I got some here. We can go to my car.
He's called Burt Ward. Here, some dick.
Oh, speaking of fucking dick, should I just totally blow our secret identities on the street while these yokels standing next to us?
Why not?
Gee, I sure hope nothing happens to Aunt Harriet. I mean, Mrs. Whatever, Cooper.
Yeah.
Like, nice save.
Dickhead.
Smooth.
Nice dick, dude.
I also just love the fact, hi, I'm Batman. Oh, you need Bruce Wayne just a minute? Hi, I'm Bruce Wayne. Weird how I sound exactly like fucking Batman.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. And how they have Bruce Wayne.
He just nicks
on
up.
The TV.
I'll just go find Bruce Wayne for you.
Or how they have Bruce Wayne on the TV with
Robin.
With Robin, and there's no
with
Batman
Robin.
Apparently.
I also love when they're trying to find him, and like Chief O'Hara's like, oh, you know them billionaire type series or millionaire type series. He's basically like, oh, he's running around just. Dick's like. Yeah, and then like he's like, I'm sorry, and Commissioner Gordon's like, completely understandable, boy wonder, it's a stressful situation, this. You're just like, fuck.
He's just like
sake.
Embracing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you feel like Dick Grayson. You're about the same height as Dick Grayson.
I don't know what you think happens in Gotham City, but I don't think Commissioner Gordon makes a habit of just going around and being like, knock him.
Excuse me, I need to feel your ward. Nothing to ask. Batman asked me to go around filling all the children, just to be sure.
Because he needs another one, he's broken the other one.
We need to be sure, and let's face it, my police staff are not very good at this.
No, no, they're fine officers.
Well, they can admit their faults.
Yes, because they can admit they're useless, which makes them good.
I think so, Boy Wonder.
Yep.
Don't beat yourself up, Chief O'Hara.
Oh, this is more of those
impersonation, though.
Yeah, this episode wasn't that great. It was the best of the three.
Yeah.
But just not that great.
It just sucked Nick Foles.
I think the problem was that because they made this villain up for the show, they were just like, let's make a lady up. Okay. What should she be? A magician? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was as far as it got. I don't even think there was a script. I think they just went, look, Adam.
Just make sure happens to go along.
Hey, bitch, just ad-lib this episode for us, would you?
Yeah. That's why, like, I'm pretty sure what happened was that, like, Adam West just turned up late to the set, and they were like, we don't have time to put him in the bat suit. It can be Bruce Wayne. Just say you're the head of the bank. And he was like, are you sure I can change my voice? And they were like, no, Adam.
No.
Just be Adam. Just do it. You do what you're going to do. We turn the camera on. Bert, if you're just sitting down, so this time your dick's not going to be in shot, so it'll be okay. Right? We don't, no, you don't need to take your pills today, mate.
Yeah.
And Commissioner Gordon just continued not to have a mustache, but fantastic hair.
But constantly rag on the fact that his chief of police can't... a thing.
I like the fact this week, though, at least they didn't just call the butler, they threw out the bat signal, to which Aunt Harriet's like, look, up in the sky, isn't that the famous bat signal?
Oh. Why, yes it is. And then Alfred's like, oh yes, he must be needing the dynamic duo.
We've got somewhere to be. It's Wednesday night, isn't it?
My God, yes. Bruce, you're right, that's Horror Night. And the other thing I want to point out, just in case you haven't noticed this from, if you're a new fan, you might not know. If you're a current fan, I'm not sure if you noticed this from the past, but Aunt Harriet sucks.
Oh, she's bad.
And she gets dropped off after being kidnapped, and she's all like, no, she's not even, the one time you would expect, I'm Harriet Cooper, and I was kidnapped. My family must be worried.
Someone call someone.
Yep.
I'm still in the scene. I'm just holding the gaze that she held for no reason. So, Aunt Harriet. Once again, glad you're dead.
Yeah.
She's not dead.
Let's talk Cranston's and Barbara's. Yeah?
Well, we all know where Barbara's going.
Well, we know where mine's going. Where's your going?
About the same.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bit of Harriet.
Bit of Harriet.
Bit of HC. The old Cooperinator.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I'm going to have to...
Sorry, I'm just giving you her facial expressions.
Shit.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with the Great Zelda.
Did you say the Great Zelda?
Mm.
Yeah, good call.
It's because she's a woman. Because she's a woman.
Only a woman.
Doesn't make sense.
He
doesn't get it, but I'm just going to say, though, I'm a bit disappointed in Adam West this week. Because he didn't say, poor deluded child.
Well, he helped. She let him save her.
Yeah, she let him save her.
Yeah, okay, all right, I'll take that back.
So he didn't need... It wasn't a problem. He let her save her.
Right.
He Adam Wested.
Okay.
And when you've Adam Wested, then you've been the best of.
He's groomed her.
Oh, wow.
And Matt makes things weird. So!
It was only a matter of time.
So, Brayden, who are you giving yours to?
Yeah, I'm going to That one.
Harriet Brain AIDS.
See, so you're giving it to you're giving it to
Harriet.
HC.
Yeah, H Coops.
Holy cow.
Batman.
Holy cow.
Oh god.
Good answers. Good answers all round. What about Cranston's though?
I want to give it to Commissioner Gordon, just for being him.
He is exceptional.
He's great. Especially that press conference, the televised thing.
This is not being traced.
I promise you, I give it. Oh, in Italian,
my solemn
that is phenomenal. I'm not even kidding. I'm still watching the Italian version.
Have you just got like subtitles on here? Yeah. It's okay.
It was so good. I give you my solemn oath. I don't know if that's the exact word. Yeah? That was great.
I think you've just got the English hard-coded subtitles over the top of the Italian.
It was so good. But like, I turned the subtitles off for a little bit. Beautiful.
What's the Jim Corden voice like in on Italian?
Filippo. Oh. I'm not even kidding.
Hola, Batman.
That's Spanish. Ciao, Batman.
Ciao, Batman.
Ciao, Batman.
What's Chief O'Hara's
voice? We can watch it. It's just hilarious.
What's Chief O'Hara's voice like?
Oh, it's just Italian. Basically. It's like that Family Guy episode.
What's that Harriet sound like in?
Cool.
Just horrible. Or I would love it if her noises were just like. Actually, I want to watch.
She's just a donkey.
Can you find me the French cut? Because I want to see her. It's just like.
Wait. Baguette.
Bonjour, Batman.
Bonjour, Batman. Oui, poo poo.
Où est le Joker?
Wow.
Je m'appelle.
No, I'll bring the Italian version around, but Mike Cranston goes to Italian Jim Gordon.
Italian Jim, very specific. What about you, Braden?
I don't know. I don't even want to give one to Adam West this week.
That's fair.
I haven't got one.
You haven't got one? Okay.
Matt? I haven't got one.
Yeah, I haven't got one either. I can't think of anyone at all that.
Okay.
Can get my Cranston this week.
My Cranston's going to surprise you. I just need help because I can't remember her name. What was the name of the chick that was the Zatanna Light ripoff?
Zelda.
Was it Zelda? She gets my Cranston. Try to kill Aunt Harriet. Just best thing I've seen on the show. In fact, that was the only thing that saved this show. So let's move on to gloves. I'm going to jump in here first. Five gloves. Someone tried to kill Aunt Harriet. Five gloves.
I'm gonna give it four.
That happens every week. I'm fucking in. You know what?
You found your niche.
Just give me a sec. Give me a sec. I'm gonna fire up my soundboard. Because you know what? You've cracked your show. Problem solved. That's all you need to do. Just kill Aunt Harriet every week.
Fair enough.
Make her like Kenny from South Park. Just kill her and bring her back each week.
That would be phenomenal.
Wouldn't it? Alright, what are we gonna say?
Four, because I didn't kill Aunt Harriet. Other than that, it was fine.
Nice. Yeah, I guess I should preface that. Part one, five gloves. Part two, zero gloves. Because they did not follow through on their promise to kill Aunt Harriet.
Yeah, but it wasn't first fate worse than death, so.
Lick my balls and then leave me high and dry. Being all like, what am I supposed to do with this erection?
How am I meant to run with this?
Am I just meant to lean up like a tripod and like just fucking.
You're a bloody tripod, aren't you, mate?
That's a
kickstand.
Kickstand joke.
Kickstand joke.
Hang a towel off it for a while or something.
Tower.
A box of Krispy Kreme donuts.
I could use it like a little portable wardrobe. Just hang shit, hangers on it.
You put your bat suit on it.
Oh, you could.
The cape.
The cow.
Batcock. Batcock, you say?
But if I get to that point, I'll just start using Burt Ward's super mega underpanty ball shrinking pills. How many gloves are you giving this, Matt?
I'm gonna stroke.
English?
I think he said it.
I'm gonna slow down.
I'm gonna struggle.
Okay.
Cool. I'm gonna have to
for your health.
Because I actually enjoyed Superman more than I enjoyed Batman this week.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you're giving it about a three.
I told you he was becoming a Canaanite. It's happening.
Two.
Wow. Okay. Because they didn't kill Aunt Harriet?
No.
Braden?
I'm going to say two as well.
Because they didn't kill Aunt Harriet?
That and the villain was crap. She was a woman. Don't make any sense.
I'm so glad we're doing retro. We get to be as sexist as fuck.
we're being as sexist as the 60s.
Oh, that's true.
That's all. Brain's just keeping it real for his Don Draper time.
Yeah.
Plus, he can get away with it because he's basically our Bundy.
He is.
Isn't Tom Not Ted Bundy. Also a bit sexist?
Misogynist, yes.
Tom Cruise is just Tom Cruise. Let's be real.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, you're a dick.
He's not. That's not Tom Cruise. Don't yell.
No,
you mean in general. Just, yelling to Tom Cruise. We'll be careful. You never know when he might turn up.
I got a sword here ready for him.
He was the last samurai. Like, you're fucked.
Fuck Tom Cruise.
He's Mission Impossible. He'll just like
Tom Cruise is here. Ceiling. Oh, he just left.
Oh, you nearly got fucked up. Alright. Well, to those of you on the live stream on Twitch, welcome back. To those of you on the podcast and on YouTube, just welcome to... Thanks for continuing to watch,
Welcome back.
Welcome this far into the episode.
Thank you for surviving this far.
This episode, of course, will be about Mountain Dew. The only day we're doing it.
It ain't a mountain, but it'll do.
Wow.
That's deep.
That has to be... That's not the next slogan. Yeah, just missing out, aren't they? Fucking hell. Alright. Well, should we talk this week's movie?
Yes.
What do you think?
Please, God, at least have us something good to talk about this week.
Alright, here we go. This week's movie, of course, is a Marvel Menzie, which means we continue on from last month with X-Men 2. Boys ready?
Absolutely.
Born ready.
Let's do it.
Bryan Singer's X-Men 2. At the White House, brainwashed teleporting mutant Nightcrawler tries to assassinate the President of the United States, but fails and escapes, leaving a note demanding mutant freedom now. At Alkali Lake, X-Men member Wolverine finds nothing left of the military base from the previous movie. He returns to Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Mutants, while fellow X-Men Storm and Jean Grey find Nightcrawler with the help of Xavier and his mutant tracking machine, Cerebro. Xavier and Cyclops visit Magneto in his plastic prison cell, inquiring about the assassination attempt. Xavier discovers that a covert government operative, William Stryker, has been extracting information from a brainwashed Magneto. Stryker and his assistant, Lady Deathstrike, capture Cyclops and Xavier and raid Xavier's school. Wolverine kills many of Stryker's men, while Colossus, Rogue, Iceman, Pyro, and most of the students escape through hidden tunnels beneath the school. Wolverine confronts Stryker, who fails to shed light on Wolverine's past. Iceman helps Wolverine escape, but Stryker's soldiers succeed in sedating 6 students and breaking into Cerebro. Impersonating Senator Robert Kelly and his assistant, the shape-shifting Mystique gains information about Magneto's prison and helps him escape. She also learns of plans for another Cerebro. Wolverine, Rogue, Iceman, and Pyro visit Iceman's parents in Boston. Responding to a 911 call from Bobby's brother Ronnie, the Boston Police Department arrives just as the group are leaving. Pyro uses his fire projection power to fend off the police, and Rogue stops him when he starts attacking people savagely. The X-Jet arrives to pick them up and is targeted by 2 Air Force fighter jets. Hit by a missile, it does not crash due to the sudden intervention of Magneto. The X-Men reluctantly team up with Magneto and Mystique to stop Stryker. At their camp, Magneto learns that Stryker orchestrated the attack on the President to provide rationale to raid Xavier's school and use an injectable drug to control the mutant students. Jean reads Nightcrawler's mind and determines that Stryker's base is inside the dam at Alkali Lake, where he plans to kill all mutants with a second Cerebro program to destroy them. Through his son Jason, Stryker gains control over Xavier, who is brainwashed to use Cerebro to find and kill all the mutants. Mystique infiltrates Stryker's base by impersonating Wolverine, Storm and Nightcrawler search for the kidnapped students, Jean, Magneto and Mystique are attacked by a brainwashed Cyclops while trying to rescue Xavier, and in the process cause damage to the generators that keep the dam from collapsing. The force of Jean's telekinetic blast, clashing with Cyclops' optic blast, awakens him from his brainwashing, but also cracks the dam. Wolverine finds Stryker in an adamantium smelting room where he recovers some of his memories. Wolverine fights and kills Lady Deathstrike, then finds Stryker on a landing pad where Stryker bargains for his life by offering to reveal Wolverine's past. Wolverine refuses and instead binds Stryker in chains. Storm and Nightcrawler find the students, Magneto and Mystique kill the rest of Stryker's men, and Magneto stops Jason and Xavier before Cerebro kills any mutants. Disguised as Stryker, Mystique uses Jason to convince Xavier to kill all humans in the world instead. She and Magneto, along with new initiate Pyro, use Stryker's helicopter to escape Alkali Lake after chaining Stryker to concrete rubble. Nightcrawler teleports Storm inside Cerebro, where she creates a snowstorm to break Jason's concentration, freeing Xavier from his illusion. The X-Men flee the base as the water engulfs it and discover that Magneto, Mystique, and Pyro have escaped on the helicopter. Iceman and Rogue arrive with the X-Jet and get everyone on board. The dam bursts, flooding the landscape and killing Stryker. A malfunction aboard the X-Jet prevents it from taking off, and Jean sacrifices herself by leaving the jet and creating a telekinetic wall that will shield it against the flood. She activates the X-Jet's primary engines before releasing a torrent of water down on herself, presumably killing her. The X-Men give the President files from Stryker's private offices, and Xavier warns him that Hutons and mutants must work together to build peace. Back at the school, Xavier, Cyclops, and Wolverine remember Jean, and Wolverine tells Cyclops that Jean chose Cyclops over him. As the film ends, a phoenix-like shape from beneath Alkali Lake explodes out, and the credits roll. X-Men 2. It was them, Charles, not us. Well, there you go, X-Men 2. So, gentlemen, now I hand the floor over to the three of you. What were your thoughts on X2, as they call it apparently, on the IMDb in the streets?
The streets.
This was a shit ton better than the first one.
I thought you were about to say it's a shit movie.
I was about to get angry at
you. Oh god, no, I was worried too.
Fucking blood boiling. I was like, what the fuck?
No. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
I love it.
I love the introduction.
I love Marvel!
Anyway, go ahead.
I love the introduction of Nightcrawler in this.
Yep. I love it, Charles!
Yes.
I love it, Charles! One. Not the first one, but this one.
We'll get into that. We'll get into our Ian McKellens and our St. Patrick's soon enough.
No, it's for me, it was the introduction of Nightcrawler that really took this movie, like, got me into
that
this movie.
That was great.
Yeah.
It's a really good intro, the way they introduced, like, the whole mind control thing. That seemed to be a thing with comic books. But yeah, it was a different spin on just the whole concept.
Yeah.
So, it's overall, it was a sparsely different film from the first one, but in a positive way.
What I would like to know, would Nightcrawler actually kill the President if he didn't get shot?
Well, yeah, he would have, because it was mind control.
He's
basically a Manchurian candidate.
Okay.
Yeah, he will complete his mission.
Okay.
So yeah, he would have killed the President in, I guess basically that in some ways is a tease of Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because in the comics Days of Future Past, I'm pretty sure they actually killed the President, not Kelly, yeah, by memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not as 100% on my Marvel as I am on my DC, but, okay, but by memory, the reason that Days of Future Past happens is because, according to history, Gambit travels back in time and kills the President.
Mm.
Yeah, right.
But it's not. Yeah, as we'll get to when we get to the film,
cool. Yeah,
we'll talk about that.
Cool.
So that's a few months away.
But yeah, love this X-Men.
Yeah,
Fucking love it.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. It's excellent. So, Terry,
yes.
Thoughts?
Overall, I think this story had as a good amount of substance. Had a good amount of Wolverine. This is where it really sort of took off with Wolverine.
We had a berserker attack for the first time.
Oh, so good.
Mm. Proper berserker attack.
Yeah, proper, like, go absolute nuts.
Yeah.
Introduced a lot of other mutants as well, just besides the five main, six, including Professor X. We had Colossus, we had Shadow Cat, and Nightcrawler.
Yep.
Jubilee pops up for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But it was a solid movie.
There's a mention of Kitty Pryde as well.
Kitty Pryde, yeah. Yeah, it's a good, solid movie, and I've watched this a good couple of times over the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. It's on my hard drive, so I just flick through. Oh yeah, watch that, and I don't get bored of it. There's always something different in it.
Absolutely.
So
even the jokes in this work really well. Like there's jokes that are obviously intentional. Like Nightcrawler makes a lot of sight gags, and
yeah,
like my favorite gag, still I laugh every time, even though I know it's coming, is the bye bye bye.
Yeah.
In Cyclops' car, because I'm just like that. Just captures what a fuck. Like I've played. I don't get me wrong. I like that song. I've danced that song. But if you're a big enough douche, that is like the default autoplay.
Yeah.
You've captured Scott Summers perfectly there.
The one problem I do have with it is we still have a lot of X's around.
Yeah.
Even the mags on Cyclops' RX-8.
Yeah, that's not going away.
Yeah.
RX's.
Branded.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, for me, that's a very Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
It's a damn solid movie, and I don't get bored of it.
No.
I don't get bored of it.
I noticed this time, something I hadn't noticed before, and that's that Sir Ian McKellen does something absolutely amazing in this film. And that is, anytime he's not speaking, he just goes into, like, overdrive of, like, hamming it the fuck up. Like,
the sass is
real. There's a bit, he's in the ex-copter, or, like, the bluebird, I should say, and everybody's looking at him, he does this face, like, this like, pouted, like, how dare you look at me face, where he's just like,
yeah.
I'm Magneto. It was them Charles looking at me. Which is why I blinded them. Loved it. And the other thing that really actually, like, almost choked me up was the... It's about halfway through when Magneto's been beaten up for the first time and Charles comes to see him.
Yep.
And he sees the bruise in his face and the...
Yeah.
I know I've learned... Or in the past few weeks or months, I've learned more about Patrick Stewart's history, and particularly his history with his mother being a battered wife, and the look on his face when he sees that, it's not hard for him to draw on that. He goes back to being a kid, because he looks so, like...
He looks offended. Yeah, he looks
upset. What happened to you? It's not even anger, it's just this literal, like, he feels the pain.
It's a look of genuine concern.
Yeah, it's love, and it was at that moment that I realised that it's not, like, I understand as an actor, it's easier to act around people you care about because you can play off those emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very real and very easy, and I realised how much those two respect and love each other, because you can see it in his eyes there that even playing out this scene to Patrick Stewart hurts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just incredible.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
So, yeah, that was what I took away anyway. Brayton, go ahead.
I think the characters in general are just a lot better this time around than last time. Halle Berry wasn't as Halle Berry she was in the first one.
She was in less of it as well, which was good.
Pardon?
She was in less of it as well, which was good.
Yeah, that is true. I really like Jean Grey in this. She was probably one of my favourites in this. Just
she's phenomenal.
Showing the Phoenix side of her coming out. I don't remember the last time I watched this movie, so there was a lot of things I noticed this time around, knowing what's coming up, that I thought, oh, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like Nightcrawler. He was great. He was a great character.
Mm-hmm.
Liked every time someone sort of like, who's this guy? And he had to introduce himself. He'd like come up with his real name. He'd like, but in the circus.
And bow and do his, for like, my name is Kurt.
Kurt. I'll find the actual name.
I every time I hear X-Men 2, I think of the Jean Grey story. I don't think of Wolverine.
Yep.
And I love Jean Grey.
I'll interject there. The name is Kurt Wagner.
Do you have the full quote?
I will find the full quote.
I want the full thing.
Alright.
I want it all, and I want it now. While you do that, I thought that I will just... I'll wait. Brad.
Hang on, what?
Okay. Oh, wow.
Didn't think you'd want to. Really? You
don't
want me to
wait? You don't want to wait?
Oh, I'm not plugged in. Damn it.
Oh, Matt. Disappointing. It probably came through a little bit through the headphones. But, while we wait for Matt to plug it in. But, Matt, I didn't want to wait for you to plug that in.
Oh. Why didn't you want to wait?
There you go. Drop it for you, buddy. I got you back. Like I was trying to say. So do you want to wait or not?
No.
No? All right, here we go. First impression of the night. I'm going to give you one of my favorite speeches from this. But instead of doing it in Professor X's voice, as you would normally hear it, I'm going to give you the Magneto version. So here we go.
Awesome.
Mutants. Since the discovery of their existence, they have been regarded with fear, suspicion, often hatred. Across the planet, debate rages. Are mutants the next link in the evolutionary chain? Or simply
a new species of humanity fighting for their share in the world. Either way, it is a historical fact. Sharing the world has never been humanity's defining attribute. That is why it was them. There you go. It's my favorite one in the whole film. I love it, Michael.
My favorite one, actually, my favorite quote that Professor X says is, "Logan, my tolerance for you smoking the mansion notwithstanding, continue smoking that in here, and you'll spend the rest of your days under the belief that you're a 6-year-old girl. You do that, I'd have Jean braid your hair."
Yeah, love that.
Like, fuck.
Yeah, then he puts it out on his hand.
Yeah,
that was good.
Also, I don't have the full quote, but it is, my name is Kurt Wagner, but in the Munich Circus.
I was known as... All right, stop. It's just...
I was known as the incredible Nightcrawler.
Mm.
That was it, yeah. Mm-hmm. The other fantastic quote in this film, originally said by Magneto, instead, here it is as our man, Sir Patrick. "How does it look from there, Charles? Still fighting the good fight. From here, it looks like they're not playing by your rules. Maybe it's time to play by theirs, Eric. There is another way. There is always another way, Eric. What happened to you, friend? What happened? I care. Logan, my tolerance for you smoking in the mansion notwithstanding." Continue to smoke that in here.
It's full of zany, like, not zany one-liners, just good quotable material.
It's just a good film.
It's just fantastic.
I like
it. It's just solidly made, that's the thing. They all know their characters now, and they love it, Michael.
I want to know, in the comic book canon, I don't know how up to scratch you are on it, Nightcrawler, is he actually, like, because in this movie he's like a born-again Christian sort of thing, like he's got strong faith and that sort of
stuff. Yes.
In the canon, that's him as well?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, I like that.
This film is very close to the comics, pretty much. Yeah. The Bryan Singer ones, that's what makes, when we get next month to X3, that's where the problem falls off, is that you stop having Bryan Singer who understands these characters. Mm-hmm. Because at their core, Stanley kind of talks about it in More Rights, as we played in the past, where he talks mm-hmm. about different characters and... Mm-hmm. kind of, they I guess, jump. Where they come... Not necessarily just their junk, but where they come from. And, you know, down to, like, Spider-Man is...
Exactly where puberty. They come from.
Spider-Man is puberty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is, you're going through puberty, you don't understand, your body's changing, you feel different to everybody else, mm-hmm. you feel like you don't fit in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. The Hulk is, if you have anger management, that's the bottom line. That's what that is. X-Men, ultimately, is the story... It's been telling the story of gay rights since it first started.
Absolutely.
That is what it is. That's why, even in this film, the scene that is so brilliant is Iceman tells his parents he's a mutant, and his mum turns to him and says, "Have you tried not being a mutant?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
"We still love you."
Like, just... Yeah. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really is... And in some ways, it's almost the perfect time to be making these films where we're having gay marriage debates and things like that, because it's like, can you not see you're basically doing the same thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to sidestep there for a second. Okay. They've actually outlawed, in America, they've actually outlawed practices to reverse psychology people, or not reverse...
But like you can't pray the gay away.
Yeah, can't pray the gay away. You can't do the psych test they used to actually do. Yeah,
and
good.
And
it's not a disease.
They've actually, they've actually outlawed any practice to be able to try and force people to heterosexuality.
Good.
Yeah.
So. It's not a fucking disease. It's,
no,
it's not a choice. It is who you are.
That's right.
So we're going off topic there.
Just,
slowly,
yeah, but just a side step.
Yeah.
I just heard that's
radio, good. You know, America's finally starting to not be fuckwits. It's actually quite amazing.
I don't know about that.
They're starting.
They've got a long way to go.
Yeah, I said starting.
Okay,
I didn't say they're dead.
Sorry.
This is not... It's Operation Cleanup, but the motherfuckers are starting.
Terry,
they've picked up the bag and like, the spike
no
thing.
We have no stance to judge when we've got a douche like Tony Abbott in power.
We're getting way off topic.
Anyway.
So, I think when it comes to this film, I can follow it just by saying, I think when it comes to this film, Terry's right. I was just taking us back. I was wondering how to get us back. Matt, how dare you question my smooth, smooth radio skills. Now, Terry, back to your point. You were mentioning that one of the things you loved was the humour and the characters and all that.
Yeah.
I think the one in particular, I think the reason this film feels so right is Hugh Jackman really understands Wolverine in this film.
Yeah.
And he becomes Wolverine. The berserker attack where he's like just pummeling dudes with his through claws school, and shit. And like even down to when he walks into like Iceman's up having a drink and he's like, gunny beer.
This is a
like,
school.
This is school. So that's a no.
That's a no then. Hands in the warm soda as well.
It blows in it so it gets cold. I love like, and then when he shakes hand, he like freezes up his hand.
Yeah,
and
I love
the fact Iceman's basically just like
he's territorial.
My rogue.
Back the fuck off.
Yeah, what was the other thing? Is like, so you know, we're working on that. We're working on that part.
Yeah.
So it's a very real. It's real, but not. It's very real in the human interaction sort of thing. When you introduce someone like, you got Bobby and Rogue, for example, then like essentially an alpha male like Wolverine comes in, so obviously Bobby's going to react. It's very real in that way and where how it's played out.
Absolutely,
a lot of social
commentary. Yeah,
yeah, or just
yeah,
things that you would happen in real life happened in this movie. Like
yeah, it's all real
social interaction, and not just between Bobby and Rogue and Wolverine, but
yeah,
all of the characters across the board.
They act like normal people.
The other thing that I actually really liked in this film. And it was very subtle, and I've only just realised it now, is that the cop shoots Wolverine with no provocation, which is kind of, like, very much now you're like,
I think he retracted his claws. That was the thing. He said, put the knives down. He goes, I can't. He retracts them and pops them in the head.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, yeah, but I just love the look he gives him, as we saw in the video package. Yeah, the look he gives him when he walks away, where he's like...
Just glares.
It's just a literal, like, you are fucking lucky I'm alive.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Dude, really.
Yeah, you shot. Why did you shoot me in the fucking head?
Come on. Come on.
Which brings me to a point about America. If you've heard of something called a taser, shoot somebody with that!
I think they had tasers at that point in time, did they?
Yeah, they did.
The tasers existed. I'm just sure America's police force was like, we can't kill a black American with a. Did you like that? I even did the stutter for us. A black American with a taser. I mean,
with a battery?
How are we going to take care if he's high on the PCP and the crack? See, you got to remember, this is the real life. We're not back in the 60s with good Commissioner Gordon.
You don't shoot people at all.
They shoot each other!
No reason.
They shot first, Charles, not us.
Which side of the war do you want to be on, Charles?
Oh, it's so good. And the continuity between the two movies, like, first one, is the second one is actually quite decent.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Great.
It's you can watch it them back to back and you're not tired.
No.
I love
Hugh Jackman's starting to beef up in this one, too.
He is.
Although his hair is ridiculously big.
I love how big his hair is, because that's exactly like it was in the anime.
Especially right at the start. I think it got smaller as the movie through, didn't it?
It's because in the last scene, it's reshoots. He's talked about that. I can't remember where I saw him interview, but he talked about that, how that's reshoot, so it's a wig.
Okay.
That last bit is a wig.
Okay. I like the standoff between Wolverine and Cyclops when he's like, yeah, your bike's empty, and throws in the keys, and then he just throws it right back.
Fill it back
fill
up.
It back up.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So fill it.
His film does so much like shit like that where it's so good, so perfect. Like,
yep, you're right, fair point.
I really liked the fight between Wolverine and Lady Deathstrike. I love that he pumped her full of fucking adamantium to kill her. My favourite part, though, is she sinks in really, like, gently into it. And then clunk, and it's like, yep, I'm sure that's how deadweight works.
See, unless her,
yep.
Also her head did hit first, so the rest of the body might still have oxygen in it, therefore...
With all that adamantium, though?
I don't know, I'm just fucking...
Yeah. When it's coming out your eyeballs when you've just had a fiery dragon.
I love how it's just, like, seeping out of her eyes and her nose.
Yeah, the angry dragon. Lady Deathstroke's an actual comic book character, yes? Because I thought there's another character called, I think it's Cyber, whose skin is covered. He's actually credited to actually breaking Wolverine's claws off in the comic. So, is the Animantium project, has that been like a running thing through canon?
Yeah, well, when it comes to the Animantium thing, Wolverine was experiment number 10. Hence why he's Weapon X.
Yeah.
Deadpool is experiment 11.
Mm-hmm.
He's Weapon X1, which is why he's constantly like, yeah, I'm better than Wolverine. Like, legitimately, I'm the next model. I'm better than Wolverine. Fuck you. I'm better than Wolverine.
Fuck you, I'm Deadpool.
Can't die. Better than, like, you can pull me up, remold, and...
Mm.
Deadpool. So yeah, there have been multiple ones that have taken part, and
There is a backstory with Wolverine. That's what Stryker's talking about, where he's like, you know, the things we've done together, you don't remember.
Yeah.
Because Stryker actually ran, I can't remember the name of the team. Stryker ran a team out of Canada that Wolverine was a part of. That were basically,
yeah, that was with Sape. Was it with Sape too?
Yep.
Maverick, and there was another Silver Fox.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they were basically Hitman for Hire.
Yeah.
And so yep. Yeah, that was
yep.
That was kind of what they were alluding to there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think ultimately what this film does best at its core is that it's not like the plot doesn't matter. The plot about, you know, it's stopping this guy.
The story.
Yeah, it's about building the characters.
Yeah.
And expanding on that. And that's exactly what it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt more like a comic book because there's action and shit going on, but as opposed to it being the scent. Like, for instance, you look at the Marvel films now, right?
Mm.
And it's built around, okay, here's the action sequence, let's build around that.
Yeah.
Whereas this film is like, okay, this is what we want. I want the character to go from here to here.
Yeah.
And we want Wolverine to go from here to here.
Yeah.
All right, well, a lot of that journey, how can we fit? What if we fit something like this in? Well, cool, that ties in with these four characters. Cool, the dam explodes. Awesome, whatever.
Yeah.
There's these plot points that are great, but it's ultimately about the journey of these characters, mm-hmm. and Jean Grey's decision to sacrifice herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Expanding on that, I mean, I know I said every time I think of X-Men 2, I think of Jean Grey and Phoenix.
Yep.
Because I love that character.
Michael?
Sorry? No. I love that character.
The Phoenix, or do you like
Phoenix?
Yeah, I love the Phoenix too.
I love the Phoenix.
Mm. I'm really sad that they didn't do it with Bryan Singer. But I don't know if I mentioned this on air or if I mentioned it off air. I have a feeling that the Days of Future Past retcon is so that they can do...
Yeah, a proper Phoenix.
Because I think Bryan Singh was like, no, I never got to... My Phoenix.
Because that was one of my favourite... Because I'm a massive fan of the animated series. And it was like an 8-episode thing.
Oh, it was huge. It was a season. It was an arc.
Yeah.
The same way that the Age of Apocalypse was an arc. Yeah. Like, it was great.
Yeah. So that's why I was like...
The Phoenix was fucking insane.
She was great.
What I was sort of getting on there before we sort of sidestepped is the fact that the movie... For me, is focusing on the Phoenixes across the whole movie.
I would argue the next one is as well.
Yeah,
it's shittily done, but it's trying to. It's just crap. Mm. But yeah,
but the swapping between the stories of the characters.
Yep.
You don't notice that it's happening. Like,
no,
it's a smooth transition.
It's a very smooth transition. Like you.
Well, it's because everybody has a purpose in this one, as opposed to there's a fight scene. Oh, well, you better have Storm fight somebody. Yeah. Or we better have.
And we've got to have Storm use this abilities, and we've got to have Cyclops use these abilities and then lose them and then get them again.
And even like you're talking about character growth. Even at the end, like Jean dead, and they turn up at the White House, and like Scott's just like. Trying to hold it together, but he's trembling, and he's like, and you're watching it, and I think that's the reason Wolverine says something, because normally Scott's the one who would say, "We'll be back."
Yeah,
like that's his.
That's why Wolverine says, "We'll be watching."
And I think that's why Wolverine does it, because it's in some ways he's trying to.
He needs cover for
Scott. He's of the first time ever, he's literally feeling for the guy so bad that he's like, I'll cover. I will actually do the work.
Yeah.
So that he can
just. See, do his thing.
Yeah, exactly.
See, Scott Summers in this was actually a lot better than he was in the first episode.
Yeah, this is the best Scott Summers we've had. James Marsden,
yeah.
This is the best
Scott
Summers we've had.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Easily. Sort of annoys me we didn't get in the first movie.
This is the movie where I think we actually only get Cyclops.
Yeah, Cyclops, yeah.
All the other ones, we don't get it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, we get close in the first one just because he is Cyclops is that leader who's like, I don't give a fuck if you like me or not.
Just follow the rules.
You do have that, but
yeah,
but
I can see what you're saying.
This is where I feel it the most. Where he's like, I'm the leader. Whereas in the first one, I don't feel like I'm the leader.
Yeah.
Yep.
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 Agreed.
And that's what I always thought. And that's what X-Men confused the shit out of me, because it felt like Storm was the leader and not Cyclops.
Well, I mean, when you go back in time, Storm. Is theoretically like on par with Scott in that Storm's actually older than Scott, and it's been in the mansion longer. So as much as Scott would be what you would call, I guess, the field commander for the X-Men, whereas Storm is the tactical.
She's more in charge of the school.
Storm's the headmaster, as it were.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Xavier's like the chancellor or the dean and the overseer, and then Scott Summers is the actual like. Head of the X-Men.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But see, or at least in the actual X-Men universe, obviously, you have characters like Beast in the comics who serves the science role and things like that.
We got to see a little bit of Beast this
Hank McCoy.
Hank McCoy.
But we never get the real Beast. A real Beast, or the closest we get is actually in the cameo in Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
But
But no, we got to see him a little bit in this as well. So
we did
as a human.
And I mean, look, you're all right. Ultimately, it is a character piece, and it's something that I think this film, it's more about the subtext.
Mm.
It's a filler. There's so much subtext. It doesn't feel like a filler.
Yeah.
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 That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's what a lot of.
It's actually a fairly long movie too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
200 hours.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
For about 2 hours.
Big story, and it doesn't feel like 2 hours.
No.
There's a lot of, like, as you said, there's a lot of meat in there.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Mm.
Anyway,
I think it's also important to throw a shout out to. Brian Cox as Stryker.
I love Brian Cox.
He's really...
He's so good.
Like, it's amazing that guy is the guy from Super Troopers. Blows my mind every time.
Every time I see something else, I instantly go to Super Troopers.
Yeah, I just picture him, like, biting the soap and spitting it at Father. That's...
Anyway.
But looks at Wolverine and says, next time you say, like, shenanigans, I'm going to pistol whip you.
Hey, Father, what's the name of that? But no, I just really liked him. He felt like a threat, but not to harp on Marvel. And I enjoy the other Marvel films. We are on the Marvel kick here.
Mm.
You look at something like, let's go Iron Man 1.
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting bigger Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Thor fights the big fiery thing, so just bigger god thing. You know what I mean? Like there's a consistent pattern of like you just fight.
Bigger version.
Like Captain America fights the Red Skull, who's the meant to be the better version of him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you got those things. This doesn't have that. This literally, he feels like a threat for a completely different level. Almost the Khan.
He's willing to go after kids.
Yeah, but he's also like, he's just, there's no bargaining with him. He's not a mutant.
He's a mission orientated killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a mission orientated.
And he's not a mutant.
Yeah, but
he's just a
methodical.
Yeah, he's just a sociopath.
Yeah.
But he's not what's the right way to put it? He's scary because he's real. That to me is scary because it's like that.
He's someone who could actually exist in our world.
Yeah. And it really is just he's a scumbag. And he plays a scumbag so well, but it's the, you know, it's Robert De Niro in like Cape Fear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know that they're psychotic and you know that they could just go mental at any moment, but the scariness is from the fact that they're almost so fucking calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna have to late jump onto an idea that you had a couple episodes ago. Oh,
yeah. I don't blame you for my ideas are brilliant.
But it's, I love the actor.
Yeah, Michael. Jackman, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen.
No, the Stryker. What's
Brian name? Cox.
Yeah, Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Love his character. I love him as an actor. He can fucking act the shit out of anything.
Yep.
I fucking hated Stryker.
Yeah.
I fucking, like, every time such I saw him, you're such a fucking scumbag.
Yeah. I know what you mean, and I love actors that can do that.
Every time he talks, I was just like...
But how much does it make you respect scathing. That actor even more?
Oh,
like,
that's what I
had that from Kevin Bacon. For like 10 years, I hated Kevin Bacon because I saw Sleepers, where he plays like the pedophile guard. And I was like, I'm going to kill this motherfucker if I meet him. It took me like 10 years until I realized, I'm like, these guys are like totally like worked me.
Yeah.
Fuck! Yeah, you're good. It's like, Brian Cox rented me. Brian Cox rented you to the point where you're like, oh, you son of a bitch.
I fucking hate you.
Yep.
Anyway. Sorry. That was an amazing tangent. Great.
But that's exactly how I felt. And when we get to the awards system.
I bet. So, Braden, you got anything you'd like to say?
I don't think so. It's pretty well covered. It was a big character piece, and that was what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Love a big piece.
Yeah, I love a big piece.
Big piece of Brian Cox. Big Cox.
All right. Well,
get on the head here first. Get on the big Cox. Big Cox.
All right. So the big B Cox.
The big B.
Big B Cox.
Wow.
The BC. Right.
So let's start off by handing out some Barbaras. Do we have any for this?
No. Yeah.
Does anybody have Terry's just so happy.
I'm overwhelmed with this movie.
I'm pretty good, man.
Good,
yeah. I'll do
give it to Iceman's brother.
Oh, fuck. Forgot about Ronnie, the piece of shit.
Yep.
Ronnie.
Yep.
Ronnie?
Yeah, his name's Ronnie.
Ronnie.
Yeah, it was Ronnie, wasn't it?
It
yeah.
Ronnie. Yeah.
Give it it's to Ronnie. Ronnie. Fucking Ronnie.
Fucking Ronnie. Actually, I jumping on that one. Fuck Ronnie.
Fuck Ronnie.
Fuck Ronnie.
Ronnie, you
fucking...
Fucking scumbag.
Yep.
The fact, you can have all my negative awards.
The die's been cast.
He can also have my retro Henry Allen award for being a dick.
Fair enough.
Okay.
My barb...
Prince Ababwa.
Fuck. Anyway, my barber is going to William Stryker.
Ooh.
Because you're the character. A dick. The character, not the actor.
I can see where this is going.
That is an absolute...
I'm going to... You know what? Continue on. I'm going to let you go, then I'll come back to mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your Cranston?
Brian Cox.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, he goes after kids, and like there is nothing that he will do,
yep,
to get what he wants, and that's a barber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hubaggery well at its finest.
Well said, sir.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well done.
Okay. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, here's my barber. Pyro.
He's a bitch.
Sappy bitch.
He's a bitch. And he says, like,
that's fair.
Don't tell me what to do. Just shut. Just do. Just for once, can you please just not be a piece of shit and just do what you're told?
For once,
John Allardyce,
like, not
shut
be
up.
Such a fuckwit.
Exactly.
Dear John, shut up.
What's your real name, John?
Pyro. Because apparently, I'm also Ian McKellen.
And then Ian McKellen gives a look to Mystique that's all like, I'm going to fuck this fiery, handsome stallion. Charles, it was him, not me.
He's the one who pushed back. He fought hard, I got harder.
I was simply the bottom, Charles.
Not the top.
He gave me a reach around out of respect.
Wow. Oh, good lord, that's a callback to an older movie.
Alright, so who else has Cranston's?
I have Aaron Paul's.
Oh, shucky ducky, who are they?
Alan Cumming for his performance of Kurt Wagner, not Nightcrawler.
But when I was in the Munich circus.
The Munich circus,
yeah. Me the incredible Nightcrawler.
And one goes to Brian Cox for being such a great scumbag.
Big B Cox.
The B Cox. The B to the C.
Big B Cox.
Hang on. There's a code that has been cracked here.
I'm ready.
Bryan Cranston. Bryan Cox.
Excellent.
So, wait a minute. I think this is going for... Are you saying you've had epiphany that all actors whose initials are BC are amazing?
Probably.
Well done, Matt. Excellent. Might be onto something there. So you're giving us the big...
Sorry, furthermore to that.
Oh, God. Furthermore, he's broken out a $10 word. Shit.
They're both Brian.
Shit.
If you're going to go with the Brian Singer, Brian Singer.
And Brian Singer.
Brian Singer.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The police who investigate crime... and the district
Bryans
attorneys who prosecute the offenders.
The who
these are their stories.
And the Bryans who direct them. These are their these are their movies.
Anyway.
Oh crap! Not this again.
So anyway, okay, Brayden, who have you got for your let me guess. Give it to the Big BC?
I'm not giving it to the Big BC.
Kent of a man.
I'm going Jean Grey.
Femke Jensen.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah. I loved her in this.
And you loved her everywhere else.
I did.
She's good in Bond too.
Sorry?
She's good in Bond too.
She's also good in...
What's her name? On a top, because I just remember the gag Moneypenny makes is, oh, James, I'm sure you'll stay on a top of things. And he goes, oh, Roger, Moneypenny, I'm going to fuck that bitch very hard. Excuse me. I must be British.
She's also good in Hansel and Gretel with your mate Jeremy Renner.
Bit of trivia here.
I don't want to talk about that Renner. That's bad Renner.
Hey, bit of
bad Renner.
Bit of trivia here.
Oh.
Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
And Sir.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick, Patrick and Sir sorry, Ian.
What's her name?
Famke Johnson.
That one.
Famke.
Actually, have played
in, Famke.
Have been on the screen before in Star Trek. And she was actually playing a character that was hitting onto Patrick, Jean-Luc Picard.
I seem to remember this, but it's in the TV episode, yeah. Isn't it?
Yep.
I reckon it's one of the later seasons, like season 6 or 7.
Yeah, and she's like a...
108.
Yeah, she's... .1-2.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, they were on the screen, and she was like fully cracking hard onto Jean-Luc Picard.
And was like, he just like... I no, must drink I my Earl Grey and captain this yep, ship. I am a very respectful, and I appreciate the attention you're giving to me.
Pretty much.
As I'm British, I must be respectful. However, couple a balls. Man will need to do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Pretty much. But yeah.
Now, can anybody remember, at the end of this film, Charles asked the children if they've read a particular book?
Yes.
Can anybody remember the name?
Something to do with a king.
No.
The Wayward King, or something like that.
Is it, was it by T.H. Lewis?
T.H. Wells. Oh, Wells or Lewis? One of the two.
Might have been Wells.
T.H. Wells. The Harrison Wells.
No, it's actually H.G. Wells.
Oh.
That's where actually my theory came in. They actually got the name from the writer.
No, there is no T.H. Wells. It was T.H. Lewis.
It was T.H.
So, hang on. T.H. Lewis.
Hold Willis, folks.
The King is Dead.
The King is
he
Dead.
He was The King is Dead. Tell me, have any of you read The King is Dead?
No.
I haven't. That was the question. So no. And I just love... It's actually one of my favourite parts of the movie is... Old man is surprised kids have not read book. Like, he's literally like, have any of you read T.H. Lewis's The Dead King?
Yeah.
And he's like, none of you?
None of you?
Let me read it to you. And you know what?
He says,
if I was a student there, I'd let him read that to me. Cover to cover.
Wasn't there
a I'd love he teaches physics and he teaches English. He does it all. I'm Charles Xavier.
Was it the first one that he was reading a book to the kids and...
Yeah, relating it Wolverine. Back to physics.
Talking to
Wolverine. He's teaching physics and he's leading Wolverine around the thing. Yeah. But think about it. Jean Grey can hold back the water, communicate through the professor, flick all the switches in the plane... She is more powerful than him, and he's the second most powerful.
He knows that.
He knows the whole thing. Yeah, he's always known.
He's always known.
That's what the third film's about.
Yeah, I know.
You some bitch. You get
I know. I've always known.
Spoiler alert.
Anyway.
She's level 5, he's level 4.
Are you sure you want to do this, Charles? She could be very dangerous. And that would mean she's not made of metal. I cannot control her. Charles, think, please. About this. We do not want a war with them. I will kill them single-handedly. With my British charm. Anyway. Okay. Bluffs? Cranston.
Oh, you've got to give out your Cranston.
I don't have to give out my Cranston. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna come as a shocker.
Peacocks.
Is it a set of Aaron Pauls?
No. It's one Cranston.
Just one Cranston?
One Cranston.
Bryan Singer?
Nope. So you've had your guess. It's Ian McKellen. It's going to Sir Ian McKellen for literally just being like, I have 16 minutes in this to an hour and 10 minute film, and I plan to use every one of them to my advantage, Charles. Let me smolder on the plane in the background. I will fucking eat the scenery.
Get me Terrence Stamp.
I want to challenge him.
Who can be more British?
Well, I imagine Ian McKellen can, as he's British and Terrence Stamp is Australian.
Good answers.
Who can eat more scenery? That's a tough question. But once you bring somebody like, I don't know, let's say William Shatner into it, Burt Ward actually probably ate the most scenery, judging by the
Yeah, but he literally ate.
That's what I mean. That's why they actually said they couldn't reuse the sets because they'd been destroyed by the time somebody actually bought the rights because Fox cancelled it and somebody else picked it up. But the sets have been destroyed and it would have cost too much to remake them all. But I really think Burt Ward ate them.
Just fucking went mental.
Well, think about it. They're probably just like flour and water paste, like paper mache. So you're probably just like, yeah, fuck it.
In fact,
they're just left out in the rain in the dumpster and they're just a pile of mush.
Yeah, and just the wall just there like gold.
You said like a salt lick. Ah. Bert, what are you doing? My That's like Mr. Freeze.
Let it go.
All right, back to X-Men 2. Yeah, no, it does go to Ian McKellen because I just, once again, he just...
Awesome.
In fact, like, it was tough because I thought about giving it to Patrick Stewart, just like I said, for that scene where you see how hurt he is. Mm. But then I realized the conversing side of that is that Ian McKellen is playing the victim, the strong, like, I'm not going to let this get to me. Fuck them. Even better. Yeah. And I mean, not surprising, he's like a 60-year-old gay man who had to be in the closet till he was in his 60s because of persecution and that sort of. She's finally been able to be who he needs to be. He's got enough practice of like, fuck them.
Yeah.
So,
well done.
The two of them are they're more than just, they're inspirations. Absolutely. They really are. Like, Patrick Stewart is amazing just for who he is as a human being. Ian McKellen is amazing for not just who he is, but for what he has become as a symbol and more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they should be goodwill ambassadors to the fucking planet.
Well, there's good reason they're both sirs.
Yeah, exactly. And they should be more.
Exactly.
But
good answers.
All right. Good answers all. So let's give out some gloves. Let's give out some gloves.
I think it's a solid 4.
Yeah? Only a 4?
Yeah, it was a really enjoyable film. I think 4's good.
Yeah, no, I'm just asking. I'm just
solid 4.
That's good. Fair enough.
Wolverine's glove. So I'm giving it. In fact, I'm giving it both.
It's got holes in it.
Everything in Mo's got holes in it, so you've got nothing to comment about. Even your pride has holes in it, Moe boy. So no, both Wolverine's gloves for this one. It's great. It doesn't age. It doesn't age.
That's true.
Watch it now. What has it been, like, good, what, 8 years?
10 years?
10 years.
12.
12 years. Jesus. So there you go. Yep.
5 gloves. Solid film.
Nice.
Solid film. I mean, I can't even ooze over this film more than I already.
Can't even.
You need to clean your pants.
Oh, I need to clean the chair I'm sitting on too.
Taint gravy galore.
Yep.
Nice.
Leprechaun taint gravy galore.
Well, he does smell like it. He does.
not sure if that's a good thing or not.
I've decided I'm going to give this Rogue glove collection.
Ooh.
Because she'd have a lot.
She'd have a lot.
And they'd be quality gloves too.
Including Bobby's grandmother's gloves.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to have a set of those gloves as an electrician because that would have really awesome insulating properties.
Or even as the probe because they're elbow deep.
Oh! The probe's glove.
You need that on your soundboard, son.
Yep, I know.
Everyone gets a soundboard. You get a soundboard. Anyway.
It was them, Charles, who got soundboards.
Not me.
Not me.
I have never used a soundboard before. Is it hard, Eric? No, Charles, you simply do it.
Much like being a mutant.
Yeah.
You just
Do it!
Charles. Alright. Well, then, that brings us to the end of the movie. So we're not done with the show just yet. Okay, in fact, that moves us to our final segment, which is Letters from the Batsack. There it is. Look at it. Have a good look.
Later, motherfucker!
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
There goes that moment.
Matt ruined it like always. Now... have we got any mail? As I mentioned, I brought mine up earlier. I'm just going to check in with the Gimp in chat. Hey, enjoy the show. If you're loving the show, just don't really do anything. Fuck, they are loving it. Absolutely riveted to that shit. He has not moved. He has not moved. It's just in case, some people are asking, is it even real? So they're saying it's just a photograph of Chad Kroeger.
But look at it, every time...
It's not... Fucking Jesus.
That's disturbing.
See? Chad's really here.
Fucking die.
I do have one. Does anyone else have any mail from the sack?
No.
No sackage. Nah. Empty sack.
That's a good sack to have, Brad.
Sack?
Yeah, it's always a good sack. Not in regards to mail, though, but we do have one.
I have one as well.
You have one? Would you like to go first, sir?
I'll let you go.
Jose has written in.
Banger,
yes, he's been following us.
Yeah,
he is.
Oh, he's clearly tuning in TV, which just before you go on, Brayden, if you wanted to watch this next week on Twitch, or not next week, we're not here as we'll get to later, watch our show normally on Twitch TV, where you go, and then where would you go later on what's been on YouTube to watch it?
Well, you would actually find out times and days of these shows at facebook.com/FromTheBatCave, which will direct you to twitch.tv/FromTheBatCavePodcast. And then if you miss out on that, youtube.com/FromTheBatCavePodcast, where you will find all of these episodes.
There's a reason he's the social media ambassador, isn't there?
He's smooth operator.
Smooth.
He's like Solo. He's light on the fizz to slam him down fast.
Sure, no worries. That's a
good thing.
Okay, fine. He's like Mountain Dew in that he's the only diet with doing it.
Yeah, cool.
I think you should go Vanilla Coke. Vanilla Coke probably fits better.
That's
gimmick infringement, man.
Seriously.
Need to roll. Go ahead, what does Jose Bangerho have to say?
Trying to keep up with us, so he's bought himself a copy, and what he noticed in episode 6 and 7, it was 6 and 7 Zelda? The Zelda the Great?
No, 9 and 10 Zelda.
9 and 10. God, we're already that deep into it.
We've probed eight.
He asks, what is up with Zelda breaking the fourth wall? What is the deal with Zelda breaking the fourth wall, Deadpool style?
Yeah. I actually didn't notice this, but then again, I was like, my eyes spent a lot of time rolling in the back of my head.
Yeah, your brain was like seeping out both of ears.
I literally had just watched The Flash before.
This is true.
So you followed Flash with 2 episodes of Batman that were absolutely horrible. Oh, geez.
But then I watched X-Men 2, so it got okay. But yeah, but for a while there, I did feel like, you know.
I knew that sound. Someone's flossing their brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a bit much. But yeah, like, I don't remember the line. She looked dead at the camera, at the camera, and so what is it? Why doesn't the plan go or work out or something like that?
Yeah, why does the plan always work out the way you want it to?
Yeah, and it's like
stupid
it, yeah.
like that. It's just like.
It was horrible.
It's dumb. That's dumb.
It was horrible. Fourth wall breaking.
It's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad! I don't love it, Michael!
That's shit. That's shit, eh?
Shit, eh? It's horrible.
Yeah, fucking really. Pretty bad, eh, mate?
Jeez. They've upset their left. Yeah.
That's how bad
we need to stop talking about this fourth wall breaking. It's clearly upsetting our guests. Sorry, guys. Whoa. Jeez. For those of you listening on the podcast, Chad Kroger and the GIMP actually fell down a little bit. They got so excited and upset.
Yeah.
Jeez. I think they got scared because we were talking about it too much.
I think they were ready to walk out that door.
So I better move it to our next question. Yeah. And this question comes from Superfan. From Kieran Gabriel Ross.
She's a superfan.
She's just amazing.
She loves writing
questions. She's got a lot of questions, I've noticed. But we'll get back to the second. Her question.
She's got a lot of questions.
Yeah, she does, this is not a bad thing, by the way.
No, questions are great. We love it. We love it, Michael. But the question is this. Currently, Arrow and Flash are doing excellently, and we all obviously enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
If we could pick any other DC show to be on TV right now written by those guys, or Marvel if we wanted to, who would it, like, what would it be? This one was really hard for me, and I spent some time thinking about it long and hard. And
Soul Searching?
Yeah, I did, and I went on a journey of introspection. I wandered through the and
smelled the roses.
And there were two things I came up with.
Meditated upon a hill.
I climbed a mountain and in the snow and gave this monk a flower, and he was like,
He was like, there and train, big
he
boy.
Was like, thanks for the flower, and then he kind of knocked me out, and he was like, Pain, enemies do not wait for you to be rested. And I was all like, dude, I literally came up here to just use the bathroom, you fucker. Anyway, I digress.
Where's the shop?
So I was saying, I did some soul searching. I don't know what the fuck I was saying. Yes, I did soul searching. And I came to my answer, and there were two answers. Mm. Okay, the first one is probably very obvious. And that is that I will not win the series. The other one that I thought would be really cool would be Lobo.
Yeah.
Like a darker style one, but it takes place in, like, because it's that Guardians of the Galaxy style universe.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But it's this cosmic biker who's like kind of a dick and a hard ass and an anti hero. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
That's what I'd want to see.
I reckon that would be cool. Right.
Fair enough.
Either that, or my other answer to her is just simply, I want more Marvel TV, but I don't just want the D. Well, not the D. I don't want the C grade, B grade characters. I want a Hulk TV series again, like one of these Netflix style things on the Hulk. I want shit like you don't have to give me the Avengers. Maybe don't worry about giving me a Tony Stark or stuff. He can be relegated to movies, that's fine. He doesn't need to be more than that, but give me some more.
Stand alone.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would like... I can't think of it as...
Punisher show would be great, too.
Yeah. I was thinking that, but I love how dark Daredevil is.
Yeah.
I want more of that. I don't want this glorified hero anymore. I want...
Gritty. You want Happy Tree Friends. Honest. You don't want Happy Tree Friends Marvel. You want dark, dirty Marvel.
I want dark, dirty Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair enough, too.
And you're right, Punisher would be perfect for that.
Punisher's...
Yeah.
Profession for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be awful. Yeah. There's something wrong. I keep leaning towards the Punisher. Anywhere I go. It'd be my father figure. It'd be my... Yeah, something. Anyway.
Therapy, maybe?
Yeah.
Might
be something there. Yeah. Terry. I'm
trying to think. I know we've got Hawkgirl coming out, but I want... So, maybe Hawkman?
Or...
I'd like that.
Actually, Hawkman and Hawkgirl being told where... Okay, so you know how Arrow's got the flashbacks? Mm-hmm. Imagine where half the story takes place... Because their story is they keep dying and being reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine you have a story where you know, the first season takes place in 90 AD.
Yeah.
The second story takes place in 2 BC. Well, sorry, I'm going the wrong way. The first one takes place 2 BC. Second one's 90 AD. Then you go all the way, you see him with the Romans, see him with the Egyptians. Like, you go the whole way through time with these two characters.
Yep.
And then you can have them in present day.
Having these flashbacks.
Around with, like, when you have these all-star team-ups. Yeah. Because they're still getting reincarnated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was follow
the Arrow formula and the flashbacks to 90 AD and such.
You could have death episodes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Serious episodes, because they do. In the comics, one of them will die before the other one. And it normally makes the other one go fucking mental.
Then they die, and then reincarnated. Dude, that would be $8.99 for that.
I wouldn't just pay that. I'd pay more than that.
What
would you pay?
$9.99. Nine. He speaks to me. I want to bring a lantern core. So not just focusing on
bit of John Diggle as Green Lantern. Good idea.
Yeah. I was actually gonna say Hal Jordan, John Stewart. What's the third one?
Guy Gardner.
Then you can see lantern core.
The full outer space fun.
Yes, yeah. And do that.
See, that's what I would love, because I want him to go off on Earth. Is it
Black Lantern with
the Black Lantern thing, though, you wouldn't want to introduce unless you were going to do the Darkest Night storyline. But you've got pink, purple, orange, green, yellow.
Yeah, purple was Star Sapphire.
Yeah.
Who was Carol Ferris? Is that correct? Because I know in the animated movies, I know I keep going back to animated movies, I just find them easy to watch. Because Carol becomes Star Sapphire, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does, yeah. There's so many of them named Star. It's like the DC fucking go-to name. Which we name them? Star?
Star.
When we get the DC directory under ST, I'm just going to be like, oh, fuck, which one am I talking about?
So, no, like something like the Lantern Core series or something like that.
That'd be cool. The Lantern Core would be dope. Mm. Especially because you could do, an episode that... If you had four of them, where you know, guys got to go over there, you can break them up. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you could break them up so either you have four storylines going at once, or conversely, you have it be, you know, one episode might be Guy Gardner's episode, then you have Jon Stewart's episode, then you have House Stewart's episode, and you just kind of cycle through all your lanterns and tell each episode from the perspective of a lantern.
You can have crossovers, like good crossovers with that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, when they're backing each other up and shit, because it would be like a military thing where they are going to occasionally cross paths, you could even, and when they do, you like,
even,
you know...
And then, even if you only do four of them, you could even have a crossover episode of the Lantern Corps.
Exactly.
That would be awesome. Come on, writers, you need to listen to this podcast.
Where shut up and take our money, we're doing it for you. Brayden, yeah, Brayden, where are the many places people could go to find us?
Well, start right at the start from the Batcave. Fuck. I've used all my smoothness tonight. It's all gone. Facebook.com/FromTheBatcavePodcast. Twitter.com/FromBatcave. YouTube.com/FromTheBatcavePodcast. Twitch. Fuck. Twitch.tv/FromTheBatcavePodcast. Or email us at FromTheBatcavePodcast@gmail.com.
That's FromTheBatcavePodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's what I said. So close.
I'll put you on the spot.
Well, I'll give you another chance to redeem yourself just before we leave for the night. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. No worries.
Yeah, I was even to go on. You could actually have.
So I think in terms of the series. Sorry, I didn't put my input in there yet.
No, go ahead.
I'd like to see Star-Lord before the events of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Teen angst, like, Star-Lord.
Booting around with Yondu.
Yondu, yeah.
Constantly getting threatened that they're going to eat him.
Yeah, pretty much.
That would actually be pretty cool.
Just be smartass. Yeah, I think it would be cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not a thesaurus.
Stop calling me that.
Nothing goes off of my head. My reflexes are too fast.
Nothing goes off of my head. My reflexes are too fast.
On that question as well.
Well, yeah. While you're marinating, look, there's been something I've been thinking about this week, obviously, as a founding father of the Justice League. Some would say the godfather, I wouldn't argue. of the Justice League. It sometimes falls upon me to, I guess, make the big decisions. Oh. And a lot of those are obviously who we include in what I would call the Justice League Light. Which are obviously, you know, that's where you put your Robin.
Sort of like Young Justice sort of thing. Yeah. Young Justice.
The Young Justice, exactly. And obviously the Mayor of Mo.
Yes.
Has made it in, no question. Now, Mr. CrossFit, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the leader.
Yep.
Let's not get out. He is the Cyclops of Young Justice. but I've decided that
Mr. Cosplay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Mr. Cosplay is... The reason I forgot about him is he's the undercover operative. I'm supposed to be. He's the ghost. We're so good at it. So I've decided we're going to need to add a member into that. That's Kieran. She absolutely deserves a spot there. In fact, just while we do that, we need... Oh, no! Chad, it's okay. Hang on, I'll get him back. Chad.
Chad, stop.
Relax.
It's all
good.
Guys.
It's all gone wrong. Come on.
They're falling apart.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's going to be okay. Here, have your belt back.
It's
going to be
all right. I know, it's startling information. I know that, but it's all right.
It's going to be all right.
He doesn't want his glove. He's too horrified.
Okay, so yeah, I'm thinking that Kieran actually really does deserve her spot in Young Justice. So, with that in mind, I think it falls on us now to obviously name her. Now... I'll use the last time we named somebody. The last person we really named was you, Matt, and we put a lot of thought into, like, what is it about you ticks, what is it that you bring to the show, and all those sort of things. And so, with that in mind, the man that is absolutely the brain trust behind this name is over there in Mo, and it's the Dad Knight. So you put your thinking cap on. I handballed it across to you because you said, look, let me have a try. And I said, sure, you're not Matt. I'll let you try. And so what did you come up with?
So the thing that Kieran brings to us in our show is she asks us a lot of questions. So we've gone with Question Queen.
That's correct.
Question Queen, Kieran Ross.
So from now on, whenever you hear Chris Question Queen, you will know who we are referring to.
Well done.
So congratulations. So that officially means, I know we've done this for you before, but congratulations officially now. Not only are you in Young Just Us, but that also puts you in line to one day possibly even join the Just Us League officially. But obviously, once again, you are one of the proud few who can say that you stand in the Hall of Fame. So let's just take a minute. Bit of respect.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break
rocks.
You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself.
So here we go, what are you going to be?
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you should be. Thank you. Thank you for caring. It means a lot to us. In the years to come, you will be one of the fans we will be like that. One of the first fans we have. And while we're here, we're talking about the Hall of Fame, obviously we mentioned something earlier. Let's list off some of the people that perhaps future fans were just encouraging us to join in the Hall of Fame. We obviously have Mr. Cosplay over there in Italy, Filippo, looking handsome as ever. Possibly the only man more handsome than Braden. Oh, no, I would go anywhere. Then we had Mr. CrossFit, obviously. He took care of a lot of business, which matters. So, yeah, look, well done to you all. Then we have the Mayor of Mode, well, obviously. Both of them just have provided so much to us. And finally, we have Kieran. So, you know, excellent. Well done to all of you. Question Queen, welcome to the Hall of Fame. All right. Now.
Well, for those of you at home wondering why everything just suddenly halted and made a very strange, abrupt stop, that would be because we just had a power failure, so I do apologise for that. We're back on the air now because we're so committed. We just, thankfully, threw Matt out there. It's raining. Threw Matt there and said, I don't give a fuck, get wet, do your job.
Get it done.
Fucking one glover. And sure enough, he did. Didn't let me down. Proved that he's on his way to becoming my deagle.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
You'll take the deagle?
I'll take the deagle.
So, as I was saying, congratulations to all of our Hall of Famers.
Mm.
Now, moving on to our next segment, our final segment, that is Badger the Badger.
Mm-hmm.
And talk us through it, Terry. What have we got?
So last week's Badger the Badger was with one round trip to the DC Marvel Universe.
Yep.
And guess who responded?
Hmm.
Question Queen.
There
Question
you go. Queen. Yeah, she did. She's responded with, for Marvel, she liked it to be the Sanctum Sanctorum. Nice. And her guide would be the esteemed Doctor Strange himself, that or Latveria with Doctor Doom.
Nice.
For DC, she'd go anywhere as long as it was Nightwing.
Good answer.
Solid answer. So, Badger the Badger this week. We're going to have a bit of fun. We're going to be a bit dicky.
Everybody have fun
tonight. Right,
everybody
so...
have fun. Have fun, Charles.
It was up, Charles, not us. We're having fun.
So, funnily enough, that was a lovely segue. We've come up with that. We want people writing with their sentences or quotes that we would like to have either of the sirs read, Sir Patrick or Sir Ian. So, yes, we'll have them live next week.
Excellent. Live via your ear canals.
From the Batcave.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so.
Tune in, Charles! And hear me speak.
Exactly.
So, same bat cave.
Same bat time.
Same bat
channel, Charles.
Sorry. Continue, Terry.
No, that's pretty much it. Like, if you've got a sentence or a quote you want them to read, just anything.
Anything.
It could be packet mix cake. They'll read it.
Oh, I got some good ones. I got some good ones that I'll bring tomorrow. Oh, not tomorrow, but next week.
There's some next to look fortnight. Forward. Next fortnight.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. Unfortunately, next week, we are taking a week off because Matt wants to celebrate his birthday or some shit. like, scumbag. Like the fucking one glover.
Like, with his family, no less.
Yeah, with his kids and his wife, thinking he's so much better than the rest of us.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, he's 42.
Born in 1942. So we won't be here next week. However, we will be back in a fortnight with one of our very special double headers.
Whoa.
Superman 4 and Superman Returns.
It's gonna be a good time.
A lot of anger next fortnight, I predict.
Oh yes.
And on top of that, there'll actually be a few improvements here in the Batcave that you might notice as well. So look forward to those next week.
Getting rid of Terry.
Yep.
And obviously, I'd like to thank our guest, Chad Kroger, for coming in tonight, and the Gimp for bringing him in. It's very good of them.
Well done, Chad. Well done, Gimp.
So good on them.
You're a douchebag, Chad.
And that brings us to the end of the show. So, if you want to interact with us, if you want to find our episodes, our future episodes, our past episodes, or if you want to watch us live or just watch our videos, where can you go, social media ambassador Dad Knight?
Well, I really recommend that you get on to twitch.tv/FromTheBatcavePodcast. Yeah, you get to watch our shows live, interact with us. We'll relay your messages live. It's great. If you want to just watch it afterwards, go to youtube.com/FromTheBatcavePodcast. Plenty there to see. Many hours and hours of viewing. Or you just want to quietly get in contact with us, send us an email at FromTheBatcave.podcast@gmail.com, or you can even contact us on Facebook at facebook.com/FromTheBatcave, or even Twitter if you're a bit of a tweeter. Get on Twitter at twitter.com/FromBatcave.
Jesus, fine wine.
I'd go so much as like a nice vintage port.
Ooh.
Thanks.
Slightly tangy to the taste.
Yeah, but just.
You only need it in small doses because it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Sure.
I'm with you. Well, on that note, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of another episode.
Oh.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Any parting thoughts before we go from anybody?
No. Be excellent to each other.
Party on, dude.
Be excellent.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
As King of Asgard...
But you're not King!
Listen well, brother.
I'm listening.
Doth Mother know you weareth her drapes?
I have the exact same glasses.
Wow, you two are practically twins.
Yeah, I wish. Specimen.
How are your friends that time?
He loved that day.
When they're so busy fighting you.
He loved it. Absolutely. Speaking of love and revival,
all performance issues.
Kevin Owens at
not uncommon.
I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by that.
Kevin, if he's wrestling off the ego, Kevin Owens wins the title. He can really belt.
Puny god.
Truth is, I am Iron Man. I have an army. We have a Hulk.
You dare threaten me? Thor is so puny a
nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I will catch up.
What are you doing?
I'm distracting you, you big turd blossom.
You're no match for the mighty.
Charles! I've forgotten the key to this plastic cell again. Oh, bollocks.
This has been a Cabana production.